Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
You ready, champ?
I've been ready for this my whole life.
Can you take us out on the field?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
You got your head so far up your ass about that damn football team. You don't get the fact. You just got 1 year of top quality education. Don't be wasting my time.
Paul Perillo.
Do you see that guy over there? Could you maybe wave at him a little bit? Just kind of humor him. Please.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm sick of being all-time center.
You sick of what?
Andy Hart.
I'm sick of being all-time center.
Rudy, I told you five times. You can't play anything else but all-time center. You're too small.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Oh, you are so full of crap. You're 5 feet nothing, 100 and nothing, and you got hardly a speck of athletic ability.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You all know what you have to do. Remember, no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house and pushes us around. This is your game now, gentlemen. Let's get them.
Rudy. Great movie. You like that movie, Paul?
I like the movie.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm not a big Notre Dame fan, nor am I a big Rudy fan, but I did like the movie.
Not a fan of the person, you mean, Rudy?
Yeah.
Rudy the person?
Yeah. Well, from what I understand, since the movie came out, mm-hmm.
Sort of fallen off a little bit?
Well, sort of annoying around Notre Dame circles, mm-hmm. I guess. Not knowing when he's kind of worn out his welcome.
Well, it's next Tuesday already. We're back. As Fred predicted last week, he'd see us next Tuesday.
It's a big
day.
Tuesday.
Big Tuesday. Fred Kirsch is not here today. He's actually.
You know, see now.
I thought it was a big Tuesday because of Barack Obama.
Well, that's what I was going to get to.
Oh.
Fred is not here today because he's actually in Washington, D.C. at the inauguration.
Yeah, and good for him.
Yep.
Good for him for scoring seats, which is nice.
Well, he didn't just score seats, Paul. You know, traditionally, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court administers the oath of office to the incoming president. A little different this year. Fred Kirsch is actually going to be doing that for Barack Obama. So,
does he have any little catchy slogans?
Does Fred?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
It's our time in 09, you know, some of those.
Yeah, for the, like, for
Happy
the next
holidays
4 years.
To all right. Five sucks.
Yeah. Wipe up your tears. It's going to be a great next 4 years, something like that. You know, from Fred. But so he's going to do that, which is supposed to take place any minute now. We have the TVs on here. And then he's going to try to make it back in time for the second hour of the show.
Which would be a nice trick, you know. But he does have access to the luxury.
Air Force One. He's got access
true.
To that.
I was going
right
to say Robert Kraft. But
well, he's bumped up a little bit.
I think he's gone above Robert Kraft in this regard.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, hopefully Fred will make it back. Big Head. Will not be in today.
Yeah, what's wrong with him? Aside from his oversized
head. Not feeling too well.
People won't like this show.
Well, they might like this one. You're not here.
Exactly. What's wrong with him?
He's not feeling well. You heard him yesterday. He left here early yesterday.
Rumblings.
Yeah, I think he's got some issues that he's dealing with.
Yeah, he's a baby.
Yeah, it started with his son over the weekend. I think it went to his wife yesterday, and then he said he felt it coming on, and quote, I barely made it through the door. And it wasn't the rumblings that much got him as the other side. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yikes.
So Andy won't be here. Fred's going to be missing for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves you the worst of all possibilities. Paul and Eric.
and three gender behind
and
the
three
glass.
Three genders behind the glass.
Did you order lunch?
No food. But you did order food for me, though, right? That was nice of you.
Okay. Well, it's also a big day because we still have a lot to talk about, Paulie. We've got AFC Championship, NFC Championship in the books. We've got two Super Bowl teams.
How many people do you think are listening to us today? I mean, not only
not as many.
Not
as
only
we're
missing Andy and Fred, which is definitely the comic aspect to the show. Mm-hmm. Fred especially. Mm-hmm. I mean, Fred is drop-dead hysterical and has been proven time again to be the MVP. Mm-hmm. So not only are we missing Fred and Andy, but we're dealing with the inauguration and you know, I'm just wondering how many people are actually listening to what we have to say.
I bet 95% of the listeners just dropped out.
What, just dropped
because
out?
Because of Barack Obama? Why don't you give him a chance?
Yeah, give this guy a chance,
Dan,
for God's
I didn't vote for him either, but give him a chance. It's time for change. It's a new beginning.
Hope and change.
Hope and change.
Change has come. We're going to lay more pipe.
Oh, see, that's nice. The kind of attitude, Dan, that we can't have in this country.
That's right.
Okay? And there's one thing that Barack Obama is going to show you is that the bipartisan can work. That's what we need. We need to be working in concert with one another. We can't have that kind of garbage. Okay? That's the kind of subversive crap that brings us all down.
Why are you affecting an accent there?
Affecting an accent? Yeah, I was just talking.
You were sort of making your point like this.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you
kind of
were.
I said that's the kind of subversive crap that brings us all down.
I was making a point. Okay.
I'll let you know when I go into an accent.
You will?
I don't have a lot of different accents. It's the Boston accent. That's pretty much what it is.
Nothing else?
No. Although I don't really have a very thick Boston accent. I was watching a movie last night with this woman that I don't think was from Boston, who had alternately one of the best Boston accents I've heard on film and one of the worst. And the reason it was like that was because she tried to do the R for everything.
Oh.
You know, like if you say car, it's a car. You know, you drop the R if you're from Boston, if you have that thick Boston accent. But if you say airport, you don't say pot. It's not an air pot. Boston people don't say that. You know, there are some R's that they do pronounce, just not a lot of them. And they also put R's where they don't belong at the end of words sometimes.
Right, like
too.
America.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway, we've got the Cardinals.
Didn't take us long to spin off the access there, did it?
We've got Cardinals and Steelers in the Super Bowl. We've got another Patriots assistant who's flown the coop. Sing it with me, Paul. Dum, 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 be doo be dum.
I like Dom Capers, but as I predicted to you, maybe here on this show as well, last July, I sat down and spoke with him. One of the nicest men that I've met in football, and I told you.
Gave you nothing.
He will give you 1 year and 1 year only. He's not long for this place.
No.
Spent 20 minutes talking about my family, where I went to school, why I got into the business of journalism, and
he turned the tables on you. Yeah.
And then I asked him a bunch of questions about, you know, traveling around with his family and blah, blah, blah. And before I knew it, I said, you know, Coach, I'd like to sit here and talk to you all day, but I'm sure at some point you're going to kick me out of here, so I'd like to get my questions
right
in.
He knew you had 20 minutes for the interview. We spent 15 talking about
you.
He
was great. He was great. One of the more personable football coaches I've ever spoken with. Doesn't make him a great coach, but I'm just saying he was a great guy to talk to, and I kind of figured he wouldn't be long for this place.
So now he's Green Bay's defensive coordinator. Any surprise that it was that team that he chose and not one of the other ones?
I'm not surprised by any team that he chose, but I am surprised because it seemed like over the weekend that Chris Mortensen and some of those national guys seemed to say the Giants were the place. Spagnuolo was going to the Rams, and it looked like that he was going to land with the Giants to replace Spags. So I was a little surprised by that. I kept reading Giants, 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 and all of a sudden Monday morning it was Packers.
Right. So as Paul just said, since we last had the show, there's been a lot of turnover.
Really interesting football games and two very different football games as well.
Absolutely. I thought that the Arizona-Philly game was, you know, if you tune in at halftime and you see the score, you think, oh, this game's over. The second half was one of the best second halves, best halves of a championship game that I think I've seen in a while. It was ended up being a really competitive game. It looked like the Cardinals were going to choke on themselves.
Yeah, I think they did have a little of that going on. It was a little reminiscent of the Patriots-Colts in 06, not as quite as high scoring, but the big lead, then the other team comes back, and then the other team was, you know, didn't fold when they came back. The Cardinals ended up you know, having the ball last, whereas the Colts had the ball last in 06, unfortunately, and that's the way that went. But I was very impressed with Kurt Warner. I think he's a terrific quarterback. I think he's a terrific big-game quarterback. A lot of talk, though, Eric, about him being a Hall of Famer and whether or not he is. And I don't think he is.
I don't think so.
I'm aligned with Peter King, who wrote about this yesterday on the Monday Morning Quarterback. A lot of the national guys say, well, you know, look at this big-game record. But I don't think a big-game record puts you in. I think that extended greatness put you in.
Exactly.
And I think he's had great years, but not a great career. If that makes any sense.
Right. He's had individual years where he's been really good.
Yeah. I mean,
mostly with the Rams. And this year you could probably argue
he had a great year this year, but I think if you looked at his career and Peter King broke it down really well, it's like the 99 to 2001 Warner where he was great.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's the 2002 to 2006 Warner where he was terrible.
And he wasn't even starting in
terrible.
A lot of that time.
And then the 2007, where he kind of took over halfway through the last year to 2008 Warner, he's been great again.
Right.
Well, I'm not sure that 5 years is enough to be a great Hall of Famer. Now, if he has three more really good years,
maybe.
Yeah. But right now, I'm not sure he is a Hall of Famer.
I'd agree with that.
He played like a Hall of Famer on Sunday.
He did.
Especially in that last drive.
The last drive in particular. I was a little concerned that, you know, we talked about it yesterday when we came into the office, that it was 24-6, second half started, Eagles had the ball, Adrian Wilson had that great strip sack of McNabb.
Yeah, I thought the game was over on
that play. Game was over on the play where Bolden ran just a little seam route right over the middle.
Beat the blitz.
All Warner had to do was loft it to him, and he sort of heard footsteps got a little over-anxious and overshot Bolden. I think if he completes that pass, it's at the very least they're down near like the 10-15-yard line. They kick a field goal at
maybe
the very
Bolden
least.
Maybe Bolden wouldn't have pouted.
Oh, God, that was ridiculous, too.
Yeah, that was pretty sad.
I mean, especially in the middle of a game, the coordinator's trying to call plays.
You see what he did after the game was more offensive to me. I mean, the middle of the game, to me, is heat of the moment. Okay, sometimes you get excited and whatever. After the game, he left. He didn't even celebrate with his team.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah, he was off the field and then out of the locker room.
Well, today
he was making the media rounds yesterday, basically saying, "I'm committed to this team.
Right.
I apologize."
I saw all those quotes, and
that was bad.
That was pretty bad. But yeah, if they complete that pass, I think the game is over there, and then you can forget about that whole big comeback by the Eagles.
I agree with you. The game would have been over then.
But credit the Eagles. You know, yes, they've lost more of these NFC Championship games than they've won, but the fact that they the fact that they get in there every year speaks something about how good they are as a team and how good Reed is as a coach.
That's part of what I'm talking about, too. You know, that's not easy to do. To go to five conference title games in 8 years is not an easy accomplishment. They only won one. And, you know, look, it's hard. It's when you get to those situations, it's hard to win it all. It's hard to do that. That's what makes, I think, what the Patriots did. In that 4 year stretch, so utterly amazing. They were able to win it all three times out of those four tries. And you've seen how hard it is subsequently. They've been good teams, you know. They've certainly been as good as they were in 01 and in 03 in subsequent years. And last year, they were better than all of them in 07.
Yep.
But
they didn't finish.
It's hard.
Right.
It's hard to win it all.
It is. And now everyone's saying that the Cardinals have no chance in the Super Bowl, that it's Pittsburgh's year. But, you know, people were saying that last year, Paul, that the Giants had no chance, that it was New England's year and all that. You know, they still have to play the game.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, my fear is that this is going to be like the Pittsburgh-Seattle Super Bowl a few years ago, where Seattle came in, you know, strong, looked like a strong team on paper. They looked like they were going to match up pretty well. And they laid an egg in the Super Bowl.
Well, that was a pretty good game, though.
I didn't think it was all that great a game.
It wasn't that exciting of a game.
Right.
But I'm talking about being close.
Yeah, it was close.
Don't forget that flea flicker put it away late in the game. It was, 14-10?
Yeah. I just hope it's not one of those kind of
Super Bowls. From the Seattle side, they certainly think they got screwed by the officials in that game.
Well, they might have a point, too.
Wow, that was quick.
But that was quick. Well, Paul's lunch is here.
Excellent.
Good work.
What, no ketchup?
But, you know, that's just my fear. Whenever there's a Super Bowl matchup like this where one team seems to be so much...
that's always my fear in the Super Bowl, period.
Outfavored than the other. I just want to see a good game.
Yeah, I agree.
And I would rather see the Cardinals win for no other reason than they're an awful franchise for all these years. They finally get in the big game. Pittsburgh's won more than their fair share of Super Bowls. I'd like to see a different team win it, you know?
Plus, you hate Roethlisberger.
Well, that I wasn't going to bring that up, but sure, that's another reason.
But that's, you know, I'm a little conflicted by it. I don't like Pittsburgh. I do like Roethlisberger. I'd love to see a new team win it, like Arizona. But at the same time, I look at it and it's like, is that really the best the National Football League has to offer this year? And that
kind of
that kind of makes me sick.
It's been that kind of year, Paul, where it hasn't been.
Well, there's just no good teams.
Well, that's my point. It's been that kind of year, so it would be fitting almost that a team like Arizona would at least have a shot to win it all. And also, they lost by 40 points when they came here last month. Which it's no consolation really to Pats fans. But if you're gonna try to look at any silver lining in it, you can say, hey, if they do beat Pittsburgh, you can say, look, we beat the Super Bowl champs by 40 points when they came here. I know there was snow, there was elements, they were on the road,
yeah,
all
I
that
know
stuff.
What
you're saying. But you know, you can look at it that, you know, hey, we didn't make the playoffs, but you know, who knows if they had gotten in. Who's to say they couldn't have made
the
run?
Hey, the way these playoffs have unfolded with the home team struggling up until last week, you can't sit here and say that the Patriots didn't have a chance. Of course they had a chance. Mm-hmm. If they got in, they would have had as much of a chance as anybody else.
Would have had a lot tougher chance, I think, on the AFC side than if they were in the NFC.
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked about it. I think Baltimore would have been a very difficult opponent for the Patriots.
Absolutely.
Just so physical, and I think they would have taken the Patriots' offense out of what it wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happened, I think they would have been in a little bit of trouble. But if they had beaten Baltimore, would I have been surprised? Absolutely not.
Oh, God, no.
Absolutely not. So they would have had as much of a chance as anybody. But you look at what Arizona's talking about now, Ken Wisenhunt.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving that Patriots game, he's turning to that as the turning point,
yep,
where it was just so embarrassing how they laid down and didn't even play. They didn't try. I mean, let's face it, Wisenhunt is as much at fault for that game as anybody. He came out with a game plan. He wanted to run the ball every play when they hadn't run the ball all year. That was basically telling his team, we don't care about winning or losing this game. We're just working on stuff.
Right.
Now, I'll say this. Can we stop saying that it's about who plays the season till the end?
Just stop.
You know what I'm saying? Like the whole the Giants played the Patriots tough, and that last game of the year they could have laid down. They didn't have anything to gain by it, but that propelled them. Yeah, and then the Cardinals laid down for an entire month, and are now in the Super Bowl, and they're crediting that with propelling them.
Yeah.
So you know what? You just never know what's going to be the missing ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hot defense, the healthy defense. I mean, look at Baltimore played out of their mind, but they just was so banged up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't think they just had I think maybe if Derek Mason's healthy and LaRon McClain's healthy, maybe they could do just enough on offense to be a little bit more competitive offensively in that game. But they couldn't give the defense any help.
Mm-hmm.
And Flacco finally looked like a rookie.
Right. And let's not overlook what Flacco did. He was the only rookie in NFL history ever to win his first two playoff games. That's a pretty big accomplishment, considering guys like Roethlisberger, who had that 15-1 regular season. I know he didn't start the first game of that season, but you know he had a great rookie year. You look at all the rookie quarterbacks in league history who've ended up starting. That I mean, just the fact that he got his team to the playoffs, he and Matt Ryan of the Falcons, both I think deserve an incredible amount of credit for what they did. Because
and I agree,
it's ask any quarterback in this league. It's one of the most difficult things to do, to be a rookie quarterback in this league, to start for your team and to have any kind of success. Most rookie quarterbacks talk about how the game is so fast and it takes them a year or two to adjust to that. These guys not only adjusted to that, they brought their teams to the playoffs.
And I thought that both of those guys got better as the year went on.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Ryan probably started at a little bit of a higher level, but I think Flacco got to Ryan's level.
Oh, no doubt.
During the course of the year. Now, in the playoffs, I don't think he played at the level that he was playing.
Ryan?
No, Flacco.
Oh.
Though Ryan kind of laid an egg in the playoffs. Mm. But Flacco, I don't think, played as well in the two wins as he had been playing, say, late November into December. I think they kind of peeled it back a little bit, said, don't make any mistakes. We're going to need you to make a couple of throws. But he made those couple of throws against Pittsburgh. He was unable to make those plays. I thought there was a big play very early in that game, the first possession. Steelers went down and got a field goal to make it 3-0.
Yep.
Third and 10 or third and 8 or whatever, threw a deep ball down the sideline that I thought was very well thrown.
Yes.
And I think it was Clayton, who could have made a play on the ball, didn't. And
right.
I think that's one of those plays that they look for Flacco to make, and had he made that one out of the chute, I think it might have changed the complexion. But Pittsburgh deserved to win the game.
I thought that was a well-thrown pass, too. I thought it should have been caught. I thought it should have been caught. So it really wasn't. It's not like Flacco overthrew or underthrew the guy. The ball was where it was supposed to be. I know exactly which play you're talking about. And I remember thinking that, too. I'm like, boy, if they really could have used that just to, as our friend Troy Aikman said, sometimes big plays lead to something.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, you get a big play and it leads to something.
Andy was ripping.
I love Troy Aikman, but when I heard that comment and I was like, wow, thanks. Thanks.
So that's who we have in the Super Bowl. We've got Pittsburgh and Arizona. Like I said, I'm going to be rooting for Arizona just for change. It's a year of change, Paul. Hope and change. I'm hoping that the Cardinals can change things and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I haven't really decided what I look at Ben Roethlisberger, and I still think he's a very underrated player. And I mean,
you know, I'll disagree.
Our arguments notwithstanding, sure. I think that people think that he's overrated. I think that people think he's a drama queen. And I just look at the game the other day. I mean, I think he could have had, with a little help from his friends,
a monstrous
one of
day.
Those transcendental playoff games mm-hmm. where you're looking at that and like, my God, he threw for 350 yards.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lima Swede drops a sure touchdown. I can't figure out for the life of me how that play to Santonio Holmes was ruled an incomplete pass.
Yeah, I don't either.
We could talk about that. I'm interested to see what the listeners think about that. I thought he took two full strides with the ball, lunged forward trying to get it in the end zone, may have, in fact, got it into the end zone.
I thought he did.
But the ball comes all the way down in his possession, and I was on the ground. To me, that's a dead ball.
Yeah.
He was down by contact. That's down by contact.
That's not completing
the process of making a catch. And to make it even more foolish looking, the hellacious hit for Ryan Clark on Willis McGahee
right.
was instantaneous as to McGahee catching the ball,
right.
and they called that a catch and a fumble.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that's a catch and a fumble, then he should be down by contact.
You're right.
What's the difference? If he had lost it in the air, it would have been a fumble? But because the ball hit the ground, it's an incomplete pass?
It adds to your point, and a listener wrote in the other day about this, about the officiating this year being more questionable than in any other year, or at least recently, that we can remember. And it's just been a series, and especially in these bigger games when a lot more people are watching, it seems like there are a lot more questionable calls or calls where the refs seem to be doubting themselves. And that Pittsburgh game was another one where there were a couple of those. I was going to mention that Ryan Clark hit, too, because he's the same guy that leveled Wes Welker here in the Pittsburgh game. That was November, I guess, right? This past
You're
season.
You're never going to catch me.
And, you know, we've gotten a few listeners who've written into us asking us what we thought about that hit, whether we thought it was legal. And, you know, they showed 100 replays of that hit right after it happened. And I got to say, my first reaction was confirmed after I kept seeing the replays. I thought the guy led with his head, Clark. I mean, he took as bad, maybe not nearly as bad as McGahee, but he got his bell rung pretty well,
oh,
too,
yeah.
by making that hit. He was down for a few minutes on the ground. And we've talked about this before on this show. I'm disappointed in just tackling in general in the NFL is not at the level that it should be. And one of the things that gets me mad is when I see guys whose instinct is to do what Ryan Clark did, is to lead like a missile at a guy instead of just making a nice form tackle, wrap your arms around the guy. He's not going to go anywhere. Not everyone, but too many guys on defense in this league try to make the big sports center highlight play. They try to knock the ball loose instead of just making a normal play, make a normal football play, just tackle the guy. It infuriates me when I see stuff like that, because you're putting other guys' health and career at risk. You're putting your own health and career at risk doing something like that. I know it's a spur-of-the-moment thing. I know it's an emotional game, but your first instinct should be to make a tackle, not to try to knock some guy's lights out.
I mean, you're kind of dealing with two different things, and I see that he won't be fined for the hit.
Here it is again. SportsCenter.
I totally
right
agree.
Now.
I think he turns his shoulder and tries to hit him with his shoulder and knock the ball loose, and I think that he's hitting right on the ball. They did hit helmet to helmet, no question. I don't think, however, that he led with his helmet, and I think there's a difference. He turned his head to the side, and McGahee happened to come down, and that's why there was helmet to helmet contact. To me, it was a very, very violent football play, one mm-hmm. that you don't want to see a lot. You don't like it when two guys are lying prone on the field moments after a hit like that. Obviously, McGahee got the worst of it, and thankfully he's okay. He's just got a concussion. I say just, but he looks like he
has a concussion. Well, it could have been a lot worse because the way they had him strapped to the stretcher, it didn't look good.
I think that that is one of those unfortunate byproducts of football. And I really don't think you can ask guys to go out there and throw it all on the line and then say that that play is dirty in any way. I think that's just a good, hard football play, and unfortunately guys got hurt on it. But I really don't think it was an illegal hit. I don't think the NFL should have, you know, and God knows that I've been against a lot of what the league has decided, a lot of what Mike Pereira, Baghdad Bob, by the way, retiring.
Yes. Getting a little bit more outspoken towards the end. Here,
I've been against a lot of what they rule. I'm not against this rule. And, you know, I know that might not make Patriots fans happy because he's the guy that did it to Wes Welker. I didn't think that was a dirty hit either.
It's just, like I said, I just find it unfortunate that most players' instinct is to tackle like that as opposed to making a normal legal tackle. I mean,
but I think they're
whether this is legal or not, it's questionable.
And I think that's how you want to do it.
But wouldn't the argument be, a better argument be, try to just make a regular form tackle and have your teammates come in and try to strip the ball?
Well,
you know, hold the guy up at least, do something like that, and as opposed to trying to. Because, you know, more times than not, a guy tries to make a play like that where he throws his shoulder and leads with it, he misses the tackle.
Well, evidently not this guy.
Well, not this guy, but, I mean, a lot of times you see that. A guy tries to make a big play.
I understand your point, but I think you're talking about two larger issues. You're talking about poor tackling as opposed to a dirty hit. You're talking about you don't like the way that he tackled him because he's hitting him with the shoulder and he can miss the tackle.
Yes.
I'm not going to argue with you on that because we've seen that happen a lot.
And I think sometimes that attempt to try to make a big play leads to a dirty play, a dirty hit, because you're not doing it the proper way.
Oh, my show coming back on here?
What's that?
Life on Mars. Haven't seen that.
Was that on hiatus for a while?
I haven't seen it in a while. I missed Friday Night Lights, however, last week. That
really?
Came back, and I didn't get to see it. I was out.
Yeah, that show's had more lives than any show I can remember recently.
Show. Wednesdays at 10. It's not a bad time for me. I'll work it in.
You will, huh?
Yeah.
You have DVR?
Yeah.
But I
never get a chance to watch them, so it really doesn't do me any good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Kids always hogging the show?
Yeah, you know, there's stuff going on, and you're watching things that are on live.
Well, in addition to the games, and we talked about Dom Capers, there's another big question that's on Patriots fans' minds. They've been emailing us all week, and that is the revelation by Carolina Panthers defensive end Julius Peppers that he wants out of his home state after, I think, 6-7 years in the NFL, and he wants specifically to play in a 3-4 defense, which significantly narrows his field of choices down.
Yep.
And the Patriots are included in that list because we play a 3-4 defense here. So the logical question we've been getting from people is, do we think the Patriots would go after Julius Peppers? I think they certainly have to consider him. I would love to see that happen. I think he's a great player. He's a superb athlete. I think he would fit in a number of ways on this defense. What do you think?
Well, I think football-wise, it's a home run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think if you wanted to go and say, hey, we'll trade you Castle for Peppers, sign me up. I don't think Carolina would do that, but I would, you know, sign me up in a heartbeat.
Why don't you think Carolina would do that?
Because I think Peppers is worth more than Castle.
Oh, in a straight-up trade.
Yeah. And I think
they'd want something else.
I think you'd have to throw in other stuff. But
what if we give him Merrick, too?
It's not just about...
That would devalue it.
It's not just about Peppers, the football player, because I think we can all agree seeing him outside, standing up outside as an outside linebacker with a 3-4...
Mm-hmm.
Would make me salivate. About 280 pounds. He's a big guy, very athletic,
ridiculously fast,
athletic
that
enough
size.
That they play him on offense as a tight end.
Yeah.
They put him back sometimes as a Hail Mary guy. As a, you know, he's ridiculously athletic. He was a top flight basketball player at the University of North Carolina as well. We know all the things he could do. He's going to give you about 15 sacks a year. What are you going to pay him?
Well,
that's where you have to, you know, kind of throw cold water on the whole thing. And I threw this out there Sunday morning when we did our Sunday morning show on WEEI. Mm-hmm. I saw that the item that Florio had about Peppers, and I immediately said, "Hey, Castle straight up
right.
for Peppers, let's do it."
Right.
And we got a few calls on it. I just don't know how you pay him.
Well, here's the thing, you've got Will Fork and Seymour, who are going to be free agents after next season. And the talk is at least one, if not both of them, are going to maybe be going after extensions. I would say, if I had to guess, I'd say probably Wilfork would be the more likely one. I don't know how you feel about that, Paul, but that's just my instincts are telling me that they would probably try to work that deal out first, and then maybe worry about Seymour. However, if they can land a guy like Peppers this year, maybe they won't need to re-sign Seymour after next year. Maybe that'll take care of that financial problem that could arise by having, you know, too many guys at that position who have hefty contracts. I don't know. I still think it would be worth investigating at the very least. See what kind of number he's throwing at you. What he wants. What you might have to give up in return if you wanted to talk trade.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, at the very least, Belichick is too smart not to be interested, not to look into it, see what it would take. You know, we sit there and say, I sit there and say, how would they pay him? Well, who knows? Who knows what they want? Who knows what he wants?
Right.
Maybe for the chance to go to New England and maybe be more in a Super Bowl picture, maybe he'd be willing to take a little less. I don't know.
I thought
maybe he looks at it and says, hey, we were just the number two seed here. Mm-hmm. They didn't even make the playoffs.
Right.
I don't know what's on Julius Peppers' mind. I don't know if it's just a power play to try to get more out of Carolina right now,
mm-hmm.
which probably the likely scenario.
Maybe. But I also find it interesting that, I mean, he could, if he really just wanted to, you know, play games with Carolina, he could have said, I just don't want to play here anymore. But he specifically said, I want to play in a 3-4, which made me think maybe he has his eye on a particular number of teams.
Well, what if he wants them to change to a 3-4? What if Carolina said, hey, you know what? You're right. We got the personnel to do it. Maybe we can make some changes. I don't know if they do or not. I'm not well-versed enough on Carolina's front seven to mm-hmm. know if they could just do that.
Maybe.
I know John Beeson's a guy who could play in a 3-4. I know the Patriots liked him.
Patriots liked him a lot. 508-543-7482 is the phone number if you want to join in this discussion with me and Paul. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Let's go to the phones. Michael in Puerto Rico. I don't think we've ever had a call from over there, have we? What's going on, Michael?
Hello.
How are you?
¿Cómo están ustedes?
Bueno. Yeah.
Me alegro. Don't worry, guys. I speak good English. Don't worry about it. You won't need a translator for this call.
That's okay. Paul knows Spanish. He could translate for us.
I can speak a little Spanish.
Oh, cool.
Un poquito.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
Yeah, Tujendo doesn't speak Spanish.
I'm very excited to call you guys. I unfortunately didn't find out about you guys until very late in the season. I actually started listening to you guys here in 2009, and you guys got a great show. I mean, you remind me a lot of my family. Because we got
you're dysfunctional.
I'm sorry.
You guys are dysfunctional too.
Well, I got me, and my brother who rag on my father a lot, and I also have a gay brother. So it's more or less basically.
That's nothing like this show. What are you talking about, Michael? Well, that's nothing like us at all.
So that's me and Andy making fun of Fred and Eric. I like it.
And you have somebody with apparently gay issues, correct?
Oh, that's two gender.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry.
Just his name. His name alone,
lying your ass off.
It was funny because I called earlier and I'm going like, hey man, I want to get on the show and whatnot. What do you suggest? I just say, oh, call back at such and such time. And I'm like, okay, I don't know who I talked to, and I'm wondering, okay, what's your name again? And he say, oh, my name's Dan. Can I say his name?
Yeah, you can say his name.
Okay, my name is Dan, and I'm like, I kind of recognize that voice. You are. 2G by any chance, and he laughed it off, and we're like, yeah, that's me.
2G.
So that was pretty funny.
What's going on over there?
Basically, a lot of people are very surprised of what's going on. You'll be surprised how many people actually follow football here in Puerto Rico. We actually have a semi-pro league in which I used to play.
Really?
As a 5'10", 210-pound defensive end. So that tells you the amount of talent and that we have over here, so.
Hey, it's great that you guys have a league, though. There's one over in the UK as well. We have fans who play in a tackle league over there.
How come the Patriots?
To be honest with you, how I won, I actually started as a Giants fan because my father's was raised in New York.
Okay.
And he used to like the Giants and the Jets. But when Bill Parcells switched over and he came into the Patriots, mm-hmm. and at that particular point in time, they actually changed the uniforms to the Flying Elvis.
Oh, yeah.
The really ugly Flying Elvis.
Yep.
I found those uniforms so cool. I just started following the team, and that's the year that Bledsoe came into the league mm-hmm. and whatnot. And I just followed all the way through, and I could probably say I'm the, you know, diehard Pats fan here in Puerto Rico. So
all right, so you're looking at a good 15, 16 years you've been following this team then.
I was trying to get the exact number of how many years I've been following it,
mm-hmm.
but I can't pin it down. I can just remember that it was maybe two seasons before they went to the Super Bowl against the
Green Bay
Packers.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So that's that's about right.
Yeah.
93, 94. That's when 93 was when Parcells and Bledsoe came.
Right when they changed the
94 is when Robert Kraft bought the team.
Mm-hmm. So that's about right.
I suffered through all the moves. I mean, the Bledsoe injury, the Brady uprising, the supposed move down to Connecticut and all that stuff.
Oh, thank God that didn't happen.
But, I mean, it's definitely one franchise to follow. And obviously I'm saying it because I'm a homer, if you can call it that. But, I mean, it's a great franchise all the way around. I mean, competitive every year, you know, top quality personnel. Even the Pete Carroll years, which were bad, were not actually that bad. It could have been worse. It could have been like the Dolphins last year or the Lions this year.
Right.
We've never had it that bad, at least as long as I've been a fan. So
yeah, you missed those 90, 91, yeah. 92 seasons where they
the
went.
The 1-15s happened before you came on board.
You came on board just at the right time.
I think I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, it was a year just before Bledsoe came in that Zolak was actually a starting quarterback for a while.
They were 2-14.
Yep. That was with Coach Dick McPherson.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
I kept remembering, man, that's a cool name, Zolak.
That's how good stories.
That's how naive I was at that time. But I hope to call you guys every once in a while because you guys are very cool. And your knowledge and the depth of it, it's pretty impressive. I just want to make one thing clear. You actually paid by the organization, or is it something outside of the organization?
No, we're inside the organization. We are part of the organization, not necessarily part of the team, but part of the Patriots organization with the Crafts and all of that. Yes.
Well, the whole Patriots empire, right. Basically.
Exactly.
I actually went up to New England once and watched the game. It was be it fortunate enough, it was a preseason game, but it was the Patriots against the Eagles the very same year that they went actually to the Super Bowl, the Patriots and the Eagles. So
I remember it.
That was kind of cool. That was, I mean, but watching a preseason game, it's got to be like nothing compared to watching a game in December with some type of divisional or playoff implications. I mean, it's got to be absolutely nothing. It's got to be a zero on a 1-10. But it was cool. I actually got to see Brady. I think that was the year that Ty Law left. So that was the last Ty Law year, mm-hmm. and I actually got to see him on the field, so it was very cool. So enough about me.
All right, I was going to say, you have a question for us, Michael?
I actually have a bunch of questions, and I just heard you say about the Julius Peppers thing.
Mm-hmm.
Would he fit? Is he big enough for the 3-4?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's about
as an elephant or as a defensive end?
I think he could play defensive end or outside linebacker.
I personally think he would play outside linebacker, but
yeah, because
I think Eric's probably right. He's 6'7", 280,
285.
So he could probably, you know, put on 10 pounds and play the regular defensive end, the Richard Seymour spot. I think I would rather see him play
outside
the outside linebacker.
Sure.
Because I think you put guys like him and Adalys Thomas, that kind of athleticism on the outside. You know, Mike Vrabel has been great.
Yep.
No bigger fan of Mike Vrabel than me.
Oh,
you guys know that.
Oh, we know that.
But, you know, he is getting up there in an age a little bit. I think Peppers is probably 4 or 5 years younger.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, if you can have a front line of Warren, Wilfork, and Seymour, and then you move Thomas maybe to the left side or put Peppers on the left side and have Thomas on the right, on the outside, you have Mayo in the middle, and maybe try to acquire another.
What about pushing Braveland?
Well, he's done that before, Michael, but I think he's better suited on the outside, Vrabel is, and I'd rather see a guy who's a prototypical middle or inside linebacker play next to Vrabel There's been some talk that Jonathan Vilma, who's a free agent with the Saints.
I was just going to ask you about that.
He's a guy that Bill talked highly
about. Just got arrested over the weekend, by the way.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, but he's only speeding, so speeding and resisting a wreck. I mean, it wasn't like a DUI.
Well, I thought it was a DUI. It wasn't?
I think it was speeding.
Okay. I thought it was. I thought I saw in the headline it was a DUI.
We'll have to look into that. But he was a guy that Bill was pretty high on when he was coming out of college and when he was with the Jets.
If it was just a speeding thing?
If that's all it was.
That's nothing.
Right.
But
right.
A DUI
is a little bit different.
That's serious.
But
you're putting somebody, I mean, you're being extremely reckless
sure.
by putting yourself in that position, even though speeding is reckless, but it's not.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what I'm saying.
But I'm looking at a guy like that, not necessarily him maybe, but a guy like a Vilma who's a proven inside linebacker. You put him next to Mayo, you've got Peppers and Thomas on the outside, you've got the three first-rounders that we already have on the front line, and I think your pass rush, which was missing for most of last season, is suddenly rejuvenated, and I think that's a formidable front seven you've got there. If you can make that happen, like Paul said earlier, if you can afford it, or if it's feasible for the team to acquire guys like that, but I think that's exactly what they need because I think I was most disappointed in the lack of pass rush last year, more so than I was the shuffling that went around in the secondary, because I think I was expecting what happened in the secondary to happen. I wasn't expecting the front seven to have as feeble a pass rush as they had for most of the year. So, I think Peppers would be better suited if he came here to be in that position. But you can use him flexibly. He can play with his hand down or standing up. It doesn't really matter. Like Paul said, he could even play tight end on short yardage and other things.
You know this.
He's a Willie McGinnis, basically. I mean, you look at it.
He's a lot better than Willie McGinnis. He's a lot better than McGinnis.
I know, but I mean, as far as the flexibility that you can get out of him, because he can put his hand down, he can stand up.
Yep.
He's definitely got the speed to do any type of coverage. I mean, it's not the same thing, and I love Richard Seymour. I absolutely love him, but it's not the same thing to having Richard Seymour or whoever it is at the outside linebacker drop back into coverage when they don't have the speed. When you know for a fact that Peppers does have the speed.
Yeah, they're not asking Seymour to do the same things, but I love Peppers. You know, I love the guys with that kind of athleticism because they're rare. I mean,
it's
a rare commodity. You know, Mike Felger and I go at each other all the time in this. He likes the scrappy overachievers.
Mm-hmm.
I like the God-gifted talents.
Right.
Because you can't just find that.
Right.
You know.
Well, all right.
For every Mayo, there's a Zach Thomas. You know, Mayo is physically
Zach Thomas
gifted.
Is a lot more athletically gifted than he's given credit for. He can fly.
Yeah,
well,
in his day, he could fly.
He could. Yeah.
He could fly.
There's Zach Thomas. There's London Fletcher. I mean, 5'10 guys who can actually play pretty well. But one more thing, and before I go, is there any reason for you to see us coming out of this offseason without being an absolute juggernaut on defense, considering all the picks that we have, all the players that are actually available in free agency, like you said, Jonathan Vilma, Otagwe, Asamoah, and the list goes on and on and on. I mean, I see absolutely no reason for us not to go into next season and just be a juggernaut. I mean, just take over and be the complement to the high-powered offense that we know we're going to be, as long as either Bill takes over the offensive play calling or we get somebody competent in there.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. I think this year has itself positioned to be kind of like 07 was for the offense. 07, they made a conscious effort to go out and get the missing pieces that they needed, mostly at wide receiver with Welker and Moss, Stallworth that year as well. They made the upgrades they needed. They had Thomas also that year, who was the one piece on defense that they needed. But it was mostly about the offense that year. I think this offseason it's going to be about the defense. And I think you're right. There are some players out there who are available who I think would be able to fit in the system. And I think if the feasibility there financially, I think the Patriots will do what they have to do to get them. And I think. I think this offseason is shaping up to be one where they have to retool the defense a little bit. And, you know, luckily it's the perfect storm where the players that they might need are available, and we'll just have to wait till free agency gets there.
Just got to pick the right ones. They didn't pick the right ones, so we'll see what happens. But thanks for the call. Michael.
Thanks for the call. Great to listening.
Have,
and,
great to have a new listener and a first-time caller. And make sure that you follow through and call us all the time like you say you will. Enjoy the visit.
All right. Take care.
All right. And, Tugender, you have to put a pin in the map, I think, for Puerto Rico. I don't think we have one over there. So
yeah,
stop playing cards and go
do
something.
Too.
But, yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that in a minute. 508.
It's the 12:46 break. Come on.
Okay, 508-543-7482, the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We'll be back in two.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
They say with a 9-month CD, you can't see your money for 9 months. What if they said you couldn't see the stars for 9 months, or have a hamburger for 9 months, or hug your dog for 9 months? That's just wrong. This is America. You can have a picnic on the beach in December, celebrate Christmas in July, go to the Lincoln Memorial at 4 a.m. if you want. And at Bank of America, you can get your money in our risk-free CD after 7 months, 7 weeks, or 7 days. So there's no risk that you and your hard-earned cash can't be reunited when you need to be. The risk-free CD from Bank of America. You're free to do what you want, and so is your money. This is America. Don't you belong with Bank of America? Bank of Opportunity. Visit bankofamerica.com/americasaves.
No early withdrawal penalty for withdrawals after 6 days from account opening or 6 days after any partial withdrawals when reinvested in a Bank of America account. We may require 7 days written notice of withdrawal. Member FDIC.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Coming this summer to Patriots.com. It's the ultimate showdown between pro bowler and pro sketcher. All pro and all show. A guy who's played in the Super Bowl and one who's worked at the Super Bowl. It's Gostkowski versus Scalavino.
I have to make 6 out of 10 field goals from 35 yards.
I think you could do that.
Oh, I know I can do it. I'm going to do it.
Wow!
Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime event as the current Patriots kicker faces off against the former college football kicker, whose last kick was 15 years ago for a university that no longer has a football program.
But if I start making 6, 7, if I'm in that range, I might switch left-footed just to show.
You've seen Ali Frazier, Duke, North Carolina, Red Sox, Yankees, but nothing will compare to this. It's Gostkowski Scalavino, coming this summer to Patriots.com.
I'm about a month into my training, Paul, too.
How's that going?
It's going. It's a little hard when there's a foot and a half of snow on the ground. I can't really go out to the field and practice, so I have to do a lot more.
Have you been able to find any fields with goalposts? I know Fred was very concerned about that.
He's unbelievable. Yes, the field that I always used to train on when I was a kid is still available and has goalposts and
that's nice.
Everything. So,
well, I want to welcome everybody back to the Michael in Puerto Rico show with guest hosts Eric and Paul today.
No, that was great.
That was a great call. He was.
He knew what he was talking about.
He had a lot of stuff. I'm glad. I like when we find out that we have guys that haven't called in or haven't written in, and they find out about us and they jump aboard. Mm-hmm. That was a good call.
We have a new listener too who wrote in last week, Sarah.
Remember Sarah who wrote in?
I do.
Yeah, she wrote in again today. Can't listen live, but I'd like to say nice job reading my email last week, Fred, who's not here today. Nobody delivers a joke like you. Can you tell the one about the one about the guy who was talking to a bartender and the guy had a long face at a bar and it was a horse? She's being funny.
Why the long face?
Yeah. Seriously, though, I vote for you guys to go back to the shows every day. I started listening to the NFL podcast done by ESPN with Jeremy Green. Terrible. And these aren't funny. And believe it or not, you guys are more professional than them. Do you believe that?
No, I really have a hard time believing that. Everything else I believe, but professional part, I'm not so sure about that, as Butch Stearns would say.
She continues, when these guys have a mouthful of food, they just keep right on talking. have any of you?
They actually have a podcast?
I guess so.
I mean, we do it all the time, but yeah. We're morons. They actually do it for a living.
I suppose. Have any of you heard the show? I haven't. You obviously haven't.
No.
Have you, Dan? No. He's shaking his
head.
What
is it on? Jeremy Green?
Jeremy Green.
Is that
it's an NFL podcast done by ESPN.
ESPN.
So I guess if you go on ESPN.com, maybe there's...
I've never listened to any of their podcasts.
One of the main guys is a big Patriot fan. I wondered if any of you knew who he is.
Do you know the name?
I don't.
No.
I mean, I know...
A lot of the ESPN personnel are big Patriots fans. And a lot of them... Really don't like the Patriots.
Oh, they're sort of like
there's a big,
you either love them or hate them.
Yeah,
over
there's no mix. There's no in between.
Wide receiver. I can't think of his name off the top of my
Chris
head.
Chris Carter?
No. The other played for the Cowboys.
Oh, Keyshawn Johnson.
Keyshawn
Johnson.
I'm getting
was,
old, Paul. I couldn't even think of Keyshawn.
There was members of the Patriots coaching staff / circle that were in Keyshawn Johnson's wedding. He was in their wedding. So this is a real
mutual admiration society.
A real connection.
So I don't know if it's him
Johnson
or not, but
Patriots.
He's certainly one of the guys who's a big fan.
Rosie Colvin was just on his podcast too. I think yesterday or today.
Well, oh, really? Well, then maybe he was the one. She
maybe
did.
He was the big Patriots fan.
Who knows? Maybe. She signs off later, guys. Sarah, the woman.
I like that.
I like it too.
Sarah,
I mean, not that we needed to know, but we did ask Sarah last time. I know you're not listening live right now, but we asked you last time to send pictures in.
Right.
And this email doesn't have any attachments.
We're
on
always
it.
Looking for additions to the PFW in progress.
I'm looking everywhere,
calendar.
And there are no photos.
We have about, what, six or 7 months filled at this point?
On the calendar?
Right.
And we have at least half the year.
Yeah, you got Christy. And who's the one who called me the fat ass? Emily, maybe?
Amelia,
yeah. You're right. So
we've got Emily.
We got
Emily, the college girl.
I don't know where
the cookies.
No, that's right. And I don't know where
Hot Amy from London.
Cali girl. Yeah, Amy.
Yep.
I don't know where Cali girl is.
Don't know where Cali. Yeah, she's been missing for a while.
I think she may have left with
she ran off with
shall
Craig.
Craig
from South Carolina. Maybe.
But
she,
ever since he who shall not be named. we haven't heard anything from Cali girl since then.
Yeah.
So maybe they had a little connection.
Ooh,
that's
unfortunate if that's the case. That's very unfortunate. 508-543-7482, the phone number again. Web
no, I'm not putting Scott in Tucson in the calendar.
.com.
Not doing it.
Is the email address. Back to the phone. Scott in Tucson.
Must be warmer over there than it is over here, huh?
Oh, yeah. What do you guys think about the Cardinals actually in the Super Bowl now?
I like it. I'm rooting for them. I hope they win it. Hell's frozen over. How about Scottsdale?
I saw that sign. There was, I think it was on ESPN. They had a sign, one of those green, highway signs.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It said hell, and it was all frosted and stuff.
That's awesome. I like that.
You guys they must not even know what to do with themselves, Cardinals fans.
Oh, yeah, I mean, everybody's now wearing Cardinals jerseys. It's pretty ridiculous.
Before you get to your question, Scott, let me ask you a quick question. The Cardinals had trouble selling out that first playoff game, no?
Yes.
Yeah, Leslie's pool supply came in and bailed them out.
It almost got blacked out in that area, right?
Yeah, they had to extend it a couple times.
Now, what's the thinking? Paul made a good point yesterday. He was like, I give those fans credit. They weren't just jumping on the bandwagon right away. That was a good line by Paul. But what was that like? What was the move like?
I was half joking.
Were they really like, did they just not believe that the team was that good and now suddenly they're jumping on the bandwagon? Or what was the deal there?
Well, I think, there's a big level of, skepticism still around here. It's not really a big football town, first and foremost. So, I mean, my biggest thing, and I always felt like they should have, totally, redid the franchise, new uniforms, new mascot, because I don't really think a lot of the fans can really, relate to the Cardinals ever since they've been here. So, but, yeah, I think it's all just jumping on the bandwagon now, so.
But you're a Pats fan living out in the desert?
Oh, yeah.
We have a lot of Patriots fans in Arizona.
which I'm sure Scott knows, but Eric.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of
Yeah, we have a fan club that met up with us at the Super Bowl.
And it's one of the biggest ones we have, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of the nation, not local.
Transplants, is that mostly what it is?
I would guess.
Yeah.
What's your story, Scott? How come you're a Pats fan?
Oh, well, actually, as I tell you guys the little story what happened this weekend from the bachelor party.
Oh,
excellent.
Yes. Oh, all right, let's get to that first. We can get to the other stuff later. What happened?
All right. Well, basically, my best man, he got a limo. And me and about 8 or 9 of my friends, including my brother, all went in the limo, and we went to a local men's establishment called Curbs Cabaret.
Men's establishment. I like how we put that.
Yeah.
It's funny.
I guess that's the proper way to...
Gentlemen's Club, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, needlessly, this is a place where my brother frequents quite a bit. You know, it's kind of his home away from home. He's probably about 11 years older than I am. So, we all go there, and we get in for free, and I told my friend, who was the best man, my friend Steve, I said, hey, whatever you do, not put me on stage. Well, that didn't make it back to my brother, so they wind up putting me on stage with 3 girls, taking my shirt off. And needless to say, I'm not exactly chiseled, so.
The wedding is off?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
She's not listening, is she, right now?
She's at work, so.
Okay. But that doesn't mean she's not listening.
Off, put it around my neck. 3 girls pretty much beat the crap out of me.
Really? And you enjoyed every minute of it, didn't you?
One girl like had an open hand slap across my chest like she was Ric Flair.
Woo!
Yeah, exactly. And the whole crowd in unison was like, ooh. Not once, but twice.
Hopefully she didn't look like Ric Flair.
No.
Okay. Decent talent, though?
She walked me around stage on my all fours while one girl was riding my back.
Oh, jeez.
And one girl decided, when I was sitting down in the chair, decided to climb up the pole and come... flying down on top of me. And I got punched in the groin. It was brutal.
Punched?
Was that?
Punched?
Doesn't sound like a very enjoyable bachelor party to me. Wow. I don't know. I remember mine being a lot better than that.
I mean, it was like a really, as close to S&M as you can get.
Yeah, that's not really what I'm looking for.
Wow. You sound like you're still recovering.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let's get that scratchy thing going in the voice.
I'm like, ugh. So, and then I told my fiance about it. She got a kick out of the story. So.
All right. You got a good one then.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes you never know how those are going to go.
Oh, yeah. So, then we went a couple of different bars afterwards and stuff. So. Oh, then they gave me a wedgie, too, and pretty much put my underwear up to my shoulders. So.
Again, not what I'm looking for.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And then all 3 girls had to sit in the chair, and I had to dance for them.
Wait a minute. You had the roles reversed here, fella. They're supposed to be doing the work for you.
I would have done the Sonny Corleone. I would have thrown the money at the floor.
Yeah, just throw it on the ground.
Hey, you dance for me.
To YMCA, of all songs.
Oh, my God. Did they do anything that you enjoyed?
Well, I got one dance afterwards from a friend of mine, from a lady
a friend
that
of
was...
you? Oh, okay.
She had pretty big breasticles that you want to see.
Breasticles? Andy's not here.
That would have been the urban word of the
That's
day.
That's breasticles.
But, yeah, so otherwise it was a good time hanging out with the guys and stuff like that. So.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Excellent.
I'm glad you're alive still. My God.
It's true.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny because, each girl, they kind of go down in a circle around you, and they can take their turns dancing on top of you or whatever. And so they had to get 2 of the probably the roughest chicks in there.
Oh, my goodness. Was it at least some good-looking talent there?
Oh, yeah, they have a website called CurbsCabaret.com. You guys should check it out.
Yeah, we won't be able to do it from here anyway.
Yeah, we'll get blocked.
Okay. It'll get blocked.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
The big red hand.
Thanks. Yeah, there was quite a few attractive women over there. I was actually kind of surprised, though. So.
Well, that's good. Yeah, so what's on your mind Patriot-wise or NFL-wise?
Well, I just, wanted to get a perspective from you guys. What do you guys thought about the Super Bowl matchup and stuff like that, so...
Super Bowl matchup, I think is.
I can't stand the Steelers.
I think it's really it's really intriguing because it's such a contrast of styles. You know, you have the finesse team that throws the ball around a lot and likes to rely on the offense and lets the defense sort of feed off the offense. Where in Pittsburgh, I think it's exactly the opposite. I think Roethlisberger keys the offense and they want to throw the ball, but not as much as Arizona, and not. Certainly not to score as much. They don't score as much as Arizona, but the defense sort of sets everything for Pittsburgh. That defense is legitimate. They've, in the past, I think, Eric, over the last 5, 6, 8, 10 years have had some defenses that statistically have been very good, but I thought watching them, they were somewhat overrated. This one I don't think is overrated at all.
No, that this might actually...
They cover.
This might be the best defense
they've
had.
They cover a lot better than I ever remember them covering with those guys on the outside. I don't think they're great players, but Ike Taylor and DeShay Townsend and Polamalu, I think, is having a better season, although I don't think he played great on Sunday. I know that he made the big play. He made the play of the game with the interception.
Yeah.
And he made a couple of other plays, but I also thought he got caught out of position a lot and got away with it.
Well, that's kind of been his M.O., though.
Yeah, but they didn't talk about that at all during the course of the game.
No, because he's
there was one play that he pulled a Teddy Bruschi and jumped over the middle of the thing, and McGahee squirted right around the end and walked in for an easy touchdown.
Yeah.
He took himself right out of the play. Now, he got all the credit because on the fourth down with the quarterback sneak, he jumped over the top and he happened to be there.
Yeah.
You know, so I think Polamalu is an excellent player, but I don't think he is Ed Reed.
He's not Ed Reed,
from what I saw of Adrian Wilson or Brian Dawkins. They had four great safeties playing on Sunday. I thought he was the least of the four of them.
Yeah.
And I would put Bob Sanders in that mix as well.
Oh, I agree with that.
How do you think they match up with the Cardinals receivers over there?
That'll be the big thing, because if you don't slow down Larry Fitzgerald, and no one's been able to do that yet,
James Harrison,
that team's going to move the ball.
Harrison and Farrier and Foote and all those guys, they're going to have to pressure Warner.
Here's the difference with Pittsburgh.
If not, he's going to be able to hit his guys.
They can do that without blitzing. Philadelphia couldn't. Philadelphia had to sell out and blitz to get the pressure on Warner. They blitzed from play 1 to play 60. And they got a lot of pressure on him periodically during the game. And they still couldn't stop him. Pittsburgh can get that kind of pressure without blitzing, and that'll be the key.
Yeah, they're going to have to.
Woodley and Harrison will be the key.
They're going to have to, because as you saw in the first half of that game against the Eagles, if Warner has time, he'll pick your part.
And you even mentioned it in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
There were plays to be made, and Warner just missed them.
He just got a little antsy there. And so, he could have put the game away on that first the first possession they had in the second half if he didn't have happy feet there.
But Larry Fitzgerald, man, you talk about an individual performance in a postseason.
Oh, yeah, it's one for the ages, definitely.
So I like the Cardinals' chances. I think they really have to play a complete game. They have to play a perfect game because – I think the Steelers are probably the better team. I'll admit that even with Roethlisberger
at the helm. I think Pittsburgh's
the
better team. And the way I put it yesterday, Scott, it's funny. I thought that Philadelphia was probably the better team going into the game on Sunday. And all it took was the opening kickoff and the Cardinals going right down the field. And I said to myself, no, the Cardinals are a better team. They're going to move the ball against this team just like they have against everybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of fell into that defense wins thing. And I don't really think that's true. I think that, there's plenty of examples of offense beating defense and the other way around. You know, I think it's very rare when you're so dominant on just one side of the ball and you win. Baltimore did it. Tampa Bay did it. But I think for the most part, the teams that have won it have been pretty balanced. And I'm not sure that the Cardinals' defense is good enough, but it'll be interesting. I think the Cardinals' offense is good enough.
Yeah, I think so, too. But that's going to be the matchup of this Super Bowl, is going to be that offense against the Pittsburgh defense. If Arizona can win that matchup, they'll win the game.
Who do you think has the advantage as far as the Cardinals defense and Steelers offense?
Steelers.
The Steelers, yeah. They have more playmakers.
I think they're a pretty balanced offense. Well, and that's provided that Hines Ward.
That's what I was just going to say. The key is going to be Ward.
I can't stand that guy.
Boy, you either love him or hate him.
Scott, you are a Patriots fan through and through. God bless you.
Oh, yeah. I wish his leg would have fell off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Fred Kurt. Fred's not here today. Filling in for Fred today is Scott in Tucson.
Scott in Tucson, yeah.
Rooting for injuries, wishing a guy's leg fell off. I like it.
Oh,
That's the thing about Ward, though. You either love that guy or you hate him, it seems like. I like him. I mean, he's one of those guys that burns you when you play him.
I think he's a good player.
I think he's
a good tough physical player.
I wouldn't mind having him on this
team.
Like,
I don't think of him like Jack Tatum or any of those kind of guys that you hated.
Oh, no.
To be honest with you, like, I thought of Rodney Harrison in San Diego. Hated him.
Did you?
Thought he was a cheap
shot. You know, honestly, I never really, even when Rodney Harrison was in San Diego, I never really disliked the guy. I didn't really see him play a lot.
I hated him. Absolutely hated him, and that was one of the first things I told him when he got here.
Really?
Yeah.
What's up, Paul Perillo?
He was laughing.
I'd sign Hines Ward.
He laughed at him.
I'd have to boycott him, I think.
Oh, come on. You would love him. You would love him.
Oh, yeah.
Rubbish.
I'd definitely win the long ball.
Come on.
and Rodney's second ball is every bit as majestic as the first.
What's up, Paul Brillo?
That's my favorite one.
All right, guys. Well, you guys take it easy. I'm going to try to recover here. So.
All right, Scott. All right, congratulations on making it through a rite of passage.
Not exactly unscathed, but, I didn't tell you about how I had to carry up the blow-up farm animal around.
All right, save that one for the next call. Yeah.
All right, now you guys take it easy.
I think you already shared too much with me on the first call. Well, there is Fred, by the way. Fred said he would be back for the free. He was just going to check out the beginning of the ceremonies.
Right.
I know they were a little bit delayed, right, because Barack was late.
They started pretty much on time from what I saw there. He's now he just signed some nomination papers, it looks like.
You mean he's actually going to take it?
The job? I think so. I think he's going to do it. Yep. He's going to plunge in with both feet, Paul. But, it makes me wonder if Fred's on time, if the plane left on time.
How do you feel about this whole production? How much more, not the money or any of that stuff, I could care less, but just the fact that it seems like, to me, this is history worth watching every time there's a new president.
Absolutely.
Why is this so much more important because it's an African American?
Because it's a first.
Yeah.
It's a first, and people like to celebrate first.
I'd like to get past
Like the Cardinals. If the Cardinals win the Super Bowl, it's a first for that organization. When the Patriots won their first Super Bowl, it was, most people look at that one as their favorite one.
Do you think this would be as big as if it was Hillary? Or the first woman?
Of course, because it would be the first woman, absolutely.
I don't think it would be as big.
I think it would.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say because it wouldn't happen, but, yeah, I mean, look. It is obviously very important because even guys that aren't very politically active like me, I'm interested in it. That's my litmus test. That's what I use for sports. I use my wife as the litmus test. Mm-hmm. If she's really interested in it, that means it transcends everybody.
Right.
And if something political interests me, it's pretty important. Mm-hmm. The way I look at it, because I'm so inactive politically, and this is a big deal to me. So
I kind of wish I was able to. Well, I DVR'd this, so I'll be able to watch some of this when I get home in a little more depth. But the only inaugurations I think don't need to happen are second term inaugurations. If a president gets inaugurated for the first time, it's a big celebration. Like you said, it's worth every change of administration. It's worth having. But if a guy gets reelected, they go through this exact same procedure. The second time around.
Right.
They have the big outdoor thing. They have the big balls and the parties. You're already president. It's just a formality.
We can hear you.
Right. You don't need to waste all that money second time around.
2 million people. That's ridiculously impressive.
Well, everybody wants to say they were there.
No,
you know?
No. I said impressive.
Yeah. I also think it's impressive that Obama has been reaching out to the other side as much as he has before he got into office.
I said this to you, half joking about 3 weeks ago. If he had campaigned the way he has talked the last 3 or 4 weeks, I think I might have been on board.
Well, that's the thing. I think he felt like he needed to appease.
Oh, I think it's clear. He's just a typical politician and told all these people what they wanted to hear. I was really, I bought it. I was expecting taxes immediately.
Oh, don't you worry. They'll come.
I don't think they're going to.
They will come, Paul.
Well, I don't think they're going to. I think he realizes that he can't do that, especially in this economy.
Well, I hope he realizes that, but I'll believe it when I see it.
I'll sell him right back down the river if he does.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I also think it's cool when you see all the past presidents and stuff and all the other people there.
But my friend emailed me earlier that they had to wheel Dick Cheney up.
Well, he's in a wheelchair because he was moving stuff over the weekend. He was moving into a home in Virginia.
Yep.
I guess he was carrying boxes and hurt his back.
Okay.
He'll be in a wheelchair for a few days. Jeez, how do you miss these things and I pick up on
them?
Come on.
I was busy watching football, believe it or not.
And nothing in the football got by me either.
Wow. Well,
Jonathan Vilma's arrest, even though I thought it was a DUI. Evidently it wasn't.
Well, we'll have to check on that. But, an historic weekend.
It is. It is.
The timing coming on
the
day after MLK
Day.
Did you
watch any of the concerts?
I didn't watch any of that.
I didn't watch any of that. I was too busy with the games.
I did watch the end of the train ride. Did you see the train ride?
I didn't
ride?
See anything.
He retraced part of Lincoln's train ride, because when Lincoln was president, he took the train from Illinois to Chicago to Washington.
I'm also going to be looking out for my brother-in-law who's there and part of the police force. Yeah,
oh, really?
It's a detail, and he's supposedly on the route. And I don't know if they got a chance to see any of that, but
really,
my wife was going to be watching today. Yeah.
Well, that's exciting for him.
Yeah, he was. I mean, because you never know. You have no idea what you're going to be asked to do. You could be like in Baltimore, you know, just trying to managing crowd control and stuff like that.
Yep.
Or you could be right smack dab in the middle of the Capitol and be a huge, you know, you know, I would imagine not necessarily right on the stage or anything. That's got to be all Secret Service and stuff. But yeah, I guess he was going to be part of the. The parade route. He was going to be on the parade route.
Well, that's 2 million exciting, people. Though.
Oh yeah, yeah.
This must be. I mean, is
my
exciting.
Mother-in-law is out of her mind. Obviously, you know that. Not
she's
only
a big fan.
She's a big fan of Obama. Yeah. First of all, but now her son is there and part of this. So,
You know, it's encouraging if you're just just a regular person seeing 2 million people flocking. It shows that they care. It shows that they're involved. If you're a security person. This has to be a nightmare, though.
Oh yeah,
trying to control 2 million people and trying to pick out any incident that happens. Anything that happens is going to be magnified in an environment like this. But big day for the nation, big day for the world. I think,
and a big day for PFW in progress.
With just the two of us.
No Andy Hart.
I won't sing
you
the song
Kirsch.
Again like I did the last time.
It's a bad show when you don't have the comic relief of Fred and Andy.
We do what we
can. Is sorely missed.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Web radio at patriots.com.
Another 55 minutes, idiot. Show, you know, we have the show.
Right.
It still goes. You know what I'm saying?
Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. One topic we haven't gotten onto yet, Paul,
football?
No, we've talked football.
Okay.
But we haven't talked specifically about Matt Cassel. And his situation. We've been getting a lot of emails from people about him and what his potential trade value might be.
Yeah, I usually delete those at this point.
I feel like I've been
answering them for 3 months.
No, but I think the consensus from our group, at least, is at least a first and maybe a third or some other draft pick or a player.
I think that might be high, but yeah.
That's what I'd be looking for, is a first rounder and either another lower pick or another player.
Yeah, and just, you know, as a point of comparison, Adam Schefter for the NFL Network, who's pretty well plugged in nationally, didn't seem to think it was a foregone conclusion that they would get a first rounder for him. Thought that maybe maybe a second and a fifth or something like that. Now, I don't know if that's his opinion and he doesn't know what he's talking about, or if he has spoken to a handful of GMs and they said, yeah, you know, second rounder. So I'm not just wanted to throw that out there. I would have thought that a first round pick. I don't know about a first and a third. That seems like a lot, but that's always what we use as just a jumping off point. I know I've written that many times, just hypothetically a first and a third or whatever. We'll see what happens. I got to think that there are enough teams out there that should be interested. I think that working against the Patriots in this regard a little bit. Is the amount of potential established NFL quarterbacks, veteran quarterbacks, that could be available in free agency.
There is.
And the reason I say that is there is a number of teams that might feel, like Minnesota, for example. If you feel like you're a quarterback away, you might be more willing to get a veteran who might only be able to be there for a year or two than you would be to spend $60 million on Matt Cassel. Possibly. You know, I'm not saying that Castle's not better than those guys. I'm saying if you're Minnesota and you just did that last year with Jared Allen, they might say, well, geez, we'll give $10 million to Kerry Collins or Kurt Warner or Jeff Garcia to come in for a year, and we'll be every bit as good this year as we would be with Cassel.
Here's a quick rundown of the quarterbacks who are scheduled to be free agents. Charlie Batch, Kyle Bowler. This is alphabetical. Charlie Batch, Kyle Bowler, Brooks Bollinger, Todd Bowman, David Carr, Cassel, of course, Kerry Collins, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Charlie Fry, Jeff Garcia, Rex Grossman, Jabron Hamdan, Joey Harrington, Byron Leftwich, J.P. Lossman, can do without him, Jamie Martin, Luke McCown, Dan Orlovsky, J.T. O'Sullivan, Patrick Ramsey, Chris Sims, Brian St. Pierre, Marcus Tuiasosopo, Kurt Warner, and Anthony Wright. So that's the list. If you want to look for a veteran.
So there's a handful of guys there that have better NFL resumes than Matt Cassel.
Sure. Lengthier, at least.
But
yeah.
But and better.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a handful. I'm not saying that, you know, they're all great alternatives. If you're asking me who I would rather have, I would rather get Cassel because I could just say,
youth,
I'm going to sign him for five or 6 years, and that's the direction I'm going to go, for better or worse, rather than plugging a guy in. I'm simply saying I could understand a team like Minnesota that thinks that maybe they're just a quarterback away.
Yep.
And they're not necessarily looking for a long-term investment. They want a guy to come in and play well for a year or two while this team is intact,
mm-hmm.
and see what happens.
Try to make a run.
And at the same time, maybe they draft a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you can't trade for Castle and sign a veteran who's going to want to fight for that job.
Right.
If you get Castle, he's your guy.
And if you trade for Castle, you're going to lose a first or second round pick, depending on who you believe.
Right.
And that kind of sets you back, plus financially. So I could understand if Minnesota said, I'd rather have Jeff Garcia for 2 years than Matt Castle for six,
mm-hmm.
even though I think Castle might be a better player even right now.
Right. And the list of underclassmen who have made themselves available for the draft was released. There are 46 of those guys. It looks like only three of them are quarterbacks.
Yeah,
Mark
Stafford,
Sanchez.
Davis and Sanchez, correct?
Nate Davis of Ball State. Yep. Josh Freeman of K-State.
Oh, so there's four.
Sanchez and what was the other one you said? Stafford.
Stafford.
Stafford,
Sanchez,
from Georgia,
Freeman,
right. Yes.
And
yes.
Davis.
Yes. Yep.
I didn't know Josh Freeman was an underclassman.
I didn't either. So if you're looking for a guy like that, you have some potential in
the
draft.
So if you're Minnesota
and you have a choice to make.
You could possibly sign Kerry Collins or Jeff Garcia, and in the second round, maybe take a guy like Josh Freeman.
Mm-hmm. And he's your future guy, but you have a guy who's established who can win for you right now with the pieces
right.
you have in place.
Right, and you save the $60 million that it would cost you for that quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You'd save your draft pick that you would have had to have traded, whatever that may have been,
mm-hmm.
to get Castle. And how much are you weakened in 2009? By having a guy like Garcia instead mm-hmm. of Castle. I don't know. We'll have to let them play and see what happens. Castle mm-hmm. could go out and
yep.
shatter everything he did last year, and then you say, wow, how could we not have taken Castle? Or he could go to another team and play just average football
mm-hmm.
like Derek Anderson.
Yeah,
Derek Anderson
right.
had a great year.
He had a great year in
which wasn't that yep. far different than what Castle did here.
Yep.
And certainly with a lot less around him.
Right. Just came one play maybe short of getting in the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, they went 10-6,
yep.
very similar situation, a good
mm-hmm.
year, but not enough to make the playoffs.
Yep.
Played very well, not as well statistically as Castle, but comparable.
Mm-hmm.
And he completely fell off the map this year. So it's not unprecedented.
Yeah. But there are plenty of teams out there that need quarterback help that if they want Castle, a deal will be made.
I have a question for you, Eric.
Go ahead.
Do you think that Scott Pioli's presence in Kansas City makes them more likely a trade partner or less likely a trade partner with Bill Belichick?
That's a good question. Boy. I'm going to say more likely.
Why?
Because I think Pioli knows what he has in Castle. Because he's been around him for
there
all these years.
There he is.
Hey, you made it back from the inauguration.
I wasn't.
Did you have a good
inauguration.
It's cold.
You got to swear him in, right? Did you? You want to jump in here?
Sure.
Okay.
What do you do? I sit there.
You want to take a quick break? Get your thoughts together? Comb your hair? You just got off the plane, I could tell, huh? All right.
Get out of there. He's getting impatient.
We'll be back in a minute.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary. Plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
They say with a 9-month CD, you can't see your money for 9 months. What if they said you couldn't see the stars for 9 months, or have a hamburger for 9 months, or hug your dog for 9 months? That's just wrong. This is America. You can have a picnic on the beach in December, celebrate Christmas in July, go to the Lincoln Memorial at 4 in the morning if you want. And at Bank of America, you can get your money in our risk-free CD after 7 months, 7 weeks, or 7 days. So there's no risk that you and your hard-earned cash can't be reunited when you need to be. The risk-free CD from Bank of America. You're free to do what you want, and so is your money. This is America. Don't you belong with Bank of America? Bank of Opportunity. Visit bankofamerica.com/americasaves.
No early withdrawal penalty for withdrawals after 6 days from account opening or 6 days after any partial withdrawals when reinvested in a Bank of America account. We may require 7 days written notice of withdrawal. Member FDIC.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to.
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
I did, and I'm back. Sorry about that, folks.
Yeah, you should apologize.
How'd you guys do?
You can't leave Eric and I alone.
Fine.
I made the comment right off the top, Fred. When you're missing you and Andy, that completely takes the comedic factor out.
When I knew that I had to do something this noontime, I didn't know that Andy was going to be out today. Yeah.
You can't have the comic relief of the show missing. Yeah. You know, that's big.
But on a positive note, we talked about football for most of the time. So
no, and
you're such a liar.
We talked about football, you idiot.
You don't think we talked about football for most of the show?
No, he hasn't been paying attention for most of the show because he's been surfing the web.
We talked about Barack for about 5 minutes, and we talked about football the rest of the time.
No, but from the emails, people were listening. I
can see. Well, I just brought up the fact that I wonder how many people are actually listening today, period, because of the significance of the day.
Well,
not necessarily because you and Andy weren't here.
No, I think a lot of people kind of stood still at noontime today, and I think it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, we have it on over here, as you can see. And
I was on the road at like 11:30, and people were driving like maniacs, and I'm assuming
to get home, somewhere,
get in front of a TV somewhere.
I DVR'd it, so
good for you.
Save that.
Good for you. So it's a new dawn here in the United States of America, and we go forward. And it's a new dawn for the New England Patriots too, because we're forgetting 2008 and we're moving forward here.
I got a quick slogan idea for you, Fred.
What do you got?
Playing off of your "Embrace the Hate in 08" rhyming theme from last year, the dine will be fine in 09.
I was going to say everything's going to be fine in 2009.
The dine, D-Y-N.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
For Dynasty?
Yeah, we're not doing that.
I thought that was just one of your words that I didn't know what meant.
No, the dine will be fine in 09.
No, that's not going to work.
Why?
It's weak.
No.
Everything's fine in 2009. We might use that.
You don't want to use the word Dynasty?
No. I you know how I am with
like
Dynasty.
Like a PFW cover, Paul.
He doesn't think it's a Dynasty.
You don't think it's a Dynasty?
I'm not quite sure it is. I think
he's been very consistent on that. I can't argue with him.
I think in 04.
Did you go get a lobotomy at noon?
No,
what the hell's the matter with you?
I think if we had won another Super Bowl between now and 04, okay. But you just...
So if we'd beaten the Giants, we'd be a dynasty.
I'll say this. We're the team of the decade.
No question.
There's no question about that.
So I don't know if Pittsburgh wins it again next year. If they win it this year and win it again next year.
That's only two.
No, if they win it this year and then win it again next year, I'd have to say that maybe they are.
So if we had beaten the Giants, we'd be a dynasty right now.
I think so. Yeah, I do.
So that 3-point loss makes us not a dynasty.
Hey.
They went undefeated last year, Fred.
Look, if you're going for the throne and you don't get to the throne, you're not the king.
That would give them 3 and 5 years. We had 3 and 4 years. I give us the nod.
Yeah.
Plus, we were in another one.
That's true.
Went 16-0.
I probably still would, but I'm just saying that, you know, there's for me.
Look at me defending the Patriots.
I know. I'm defending the Patriots.
For me, the criteria of being called a dynasty is very, very high. Very high.
Fred's very consistent on his Hall of Famers and on dynasty.
Well, at the very least.
You don't throw those words around.
Team of the decade.
Absolutely.
Very least.
You don't throw those words around.
You truly have to rule the league in order to be a dynasty. You know? So, let's see. If they win it next year, I'll maybe jump on that.
So, everything's fine. Everything will be fine in 2009?
Right. 2009, yep.
Why does it have to be
the meter? 2000. You have to write the
everything will be fine in 2009.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Right.
Okay.
So picking
like
out
that.
A cover, Paul.
Something like that.
Someone else said something that was slightly different, right. So we had to, tweak it.
All right. Welcome back to the show. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482.
Still has to look at it.
Andy has a really bad stomach bug, huh? I guess it's really nasty.
Yeah. He's, quote, thank just you. Made it in the door yesterday. When
thank
he got
God
home.
He's not here spreading it. Right. Well, he was here yesterday, which troubles me.
Okay, so have you guys been reading emails or are you just talking?
A little bit. We read Sarah's email.
We
Sarah,
haven't read,
Sarah the woman.
We haven't read too many emails. We had a couple of phone calls.
Had a couple phone calls, and we have one right
Michael
now.
Michael in Puerto Rico said that we reminded him of his family.
Oh, yeah.
And Eric still thought, he said, well.
I took offense.
So they all hate each other?
Are they dysfunctional, right. Is what they said. And they said, yeah, well, my brother and I are always arguing with my father. And what do you say? It was another brother or a cousin?
A cousin
that they think might be gay.
You know.
Oh. Okay.
So I said, well, clearly that's Andy and I yelling at Fred and Eric.
Right. There you go.
And he's listened long enough, though, that he was calling Daniel Tucci when he answered the phone.
Absolutely.
Damn.
Speaking of the phone, Salt from Orlando's on the phone right now. Salt, how's Pepper?
She's not doing too good.
Oh, what's wrong?
She texted me. She said she's having a bad day at work, so I got to deal with that later.
Oh boy, yeah.
Oy.
You got to keep the woman, you got to keep her happy.
So you guys talked about Obama already?
A little bit.
It's five minutes too long.
Oh wow,
boy!
even I can't say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, come
this
on.
Is,
now.
This is a pretty.
The new president.
This is a pretty significant day.
He deserves the benefit of the
doubt. He's a celebrity. He's being shoved down my throat.
Well, he is, but what are you going to do? I told you the day after the election, Fred, that I am going to be supportive. I am not going to be like the Democrats were to the Republicans
the
last 8 years.
That's right. We're all in the same boat.
That's
here.
Right.
Absolutely.
I'm with you.
I got two things. First thing, I was listening to a past episode, and you guys didn't know what dime was. D-Y-M-E.
D-Y-M-E?
They said two genders, sister was a dime piece. That's like a 10.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that show.
But I wouldn't have known that term. No, I never heard that. Dime piece?
Yes.
Yeah.
Never heard that
I'm
before.
Too old, I think.
Yeah. What is that?
I
guess that means
like
she's
10.
Hot. She's a 10. She's a smoke show.
Oh, she's a 10. Okay.
She's a smoke show.
She's a dime piece.
But D-Y-M?
D-I-M-E.
It's ghetto. What can I say?
D-I-M-E.
Oh, I thought you said
D-Y-M-E. I think I'm just too old.
And then second thing is I want to hear Fred tell me everything's going to be okay.
What's the slogan? What's the matter with it?
Pioli, McDaniels, Capers, Brad Seeley. As much as I think Brad Seeley might be overrated, we're losing him too.
So you just thought he's overrated?
Fred, come on, give him what he needs.
Just tell him.
Bill
tell him
Belichick is still here. That's all you need to know.
I mean, if we didn't have a winning season, you'd be thinking they clearing house to get new coaches. We're losing coaches that fast.
Yeah, but we didn't have a winning season. We were 11-5 without Tom Brady and a host of other players. So think about that. Think about that. This was a validation not only of Bill Belichick and how great a coach he is, but also the value of Tom Brady, who's coming back next year. They're 11-5 without him. He comes back. They're at least that next year, if not better. They're going into the playoffs. That's a given. And I'm predicting Super Bowl right now.
Okay. Does that take care of it for you?
Yeah, I feel better now. Okay. All right, guys. Take it easy.
Good stuff.
Saul from Orlando.
Good stuff, Carol Pepper.
I don't know what's bothering him more, Obama or his girlfriend, but he's not in a good mood.
He's not in a good mood at all.
Obama fan. That was not at all. That was certainly clear from the tone of his voice. He's tired of it.
Tired of it. Well, you know, one thing I'll say about this, it might be over the top in, you know, the Bono and the Bruce Springsteen and
I was a little reluctant. I was a little hesitant to grab on board, but when I saw the way he landed that plane last week on the Hudson River,
absolutely.
I became a believer.
But let me tell you something. What does it say though that the fact that this guy is inspiring this type of attention? It's not like he's orchestrating it. They're coming to him.
No.
He is inspiring this type of excitement, and that's exactly what this country needs right now.
We talked about that earlier. It's nice to see that people are excited, they're involved. Some people are a little over the top with the comparisons to the Messiah and all that. They need to calm down.
Are you not paying attention?
It was Time Magazine.
Time Magazine is calling him the Messiah?
Wasn't that it?
Well,
the Chosen One?
That was one of the things.
Well,
he was chosen by us.
No. It was.
It was taken in a biblical sense.
The word Messiah was part of that.
A lot of sound bites you hear of people thinking that he's great. You've got this lunatic congressman from New York State who wants to amend the Constitution so that presidents don't have term limits, so that this guy can be president forever.
That's kind of ridiculous.
Let's calm down. The guy's not done anything yet. I'm on board with giving him a chance, but
whenever something like this happens, there's always extremes on both sides. But I think
that's true. I think
you focus on down the middle, and I think this is a good thing.
We'll give him a chance, but
just give him a chance, like Belichick says.
Another phone call. Steve from Winchester's on the phone.
Hey guys,
how you doing?
What's up, Steve?
Good, good. I had a question on coordinators.
All right.
Is there any rule in the NFL that says you have to announce who your new coordinator is?
No.
They didn't have one in 05.
So they can just hire guys and not announce it so that they don't lose them and just give, like, everybody a clipboard?
What
do you mean?
You're talking about in the, you know, the circumstances of if somebody else wants to then interview them, you can say what? That, you know.
So you think, in other words, if you can keep it a secret as to who's doing what, no one will want your personnel?
Yeah, just like remember like 4 or 5 years ago when they played Bledsoe and they had this defense where everybody was just sort of wandering around.
Yeah.
And they didn't say who the linebackers were, who the cornerbacks were, who the safeties were.
Yeah.
And it was real confusing and the Bills didn't know how to play against that. Well, they can do that with their coordinators, right? Just give everybody a clipboard, have them sort of wander around, and then at the end of the season, the other teams wouldn't know who to select.
Well, you know, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, the NFL is a pretty tight community, and coaches know each other. They talk, and it's not like you can keep that kind of thing a secret within the NFL.
It's like in 2005, the Patriots didn't have an offensive coordinator, but everybody knew that Josh McDaniels was calling the plays.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't announce that.
Only one guy had a clipboard.
No, that's not true.
But you could tell.
Don't you think the guys that are actually doing something might be better served doing something than trying to deceive the rest of the league as to what they're doing? You know, like Ivan Fears probably should be working with the running backs, and Pete Mangurian probably should be working with the tight ends.
And it's kind of evident when a quarterback comes over to the sideline who he's going to talk to in between timeouts and stuff. You can kind of figure it out.
Some kind of masks or something.
They could have masks. Well, you know what they could use? They could use the cloaking device from Star Trek.
Well, that's just foolish.
Oh, okay. That's going too far?
That's
over the top, Fred. You did it again, Fred.
All right.
You can't just take the call seriously, Fred. For God's sakes.
Yeah, okay.
Come on.
All right.
Well, the Halloween costumes might not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Oh, the Theo gorilla thing? Is that what you're thinking?
Maybe something like
that. There you go.
Yeah.
Josh McDaniels in a gorilla suit.
In a gorilla suit. So that way, if they didn't announce it, they would say the other teams would know who had the clipboard.
Or if they all wore hoodies, you wouldn't know who's Bill Belichick and who's not.
That's good.
I like Fred's.
Be like Sith Lords.
I like how Fred
with the hoods on.
Fred makes Salt feel better just by saying Bill Belichick is still here.
That's it. That's all you need to know.
I now present John Elway for the Hall of Fame.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve from Winchester.
Thanks, guys. Think about it.
Good stuff, Steve.
Steve worried that the Patriots aren't declaring who their coordinators are.
I thought Robert Kraft had an interesting comment, and I'm forgetting where I read it, but he was talking about all of the coaching and / personnel department losses, Pioli, McDaniels, and whatnot, and he said, you know, we've come a long way. We came from a point when we were cutting our guys and no one wanted them.
Right.
this is, and now we're losing our personnel because people want what we have.
Right.
And I certainly would rather have it this way than that way. It's, and I think that's a good way to put it. I think it was in Peter King, actually.
It's a high class problem.
It's a high class problem.
It's a high class problem, right. Which is clearly Fred's little buzzword.
That's Fred's buzzword.
It's, and it's true. It's true.
Catchphrase.
You know, between Kraft and Belichick, they have created an organization that not only finds good people, but then, you know, nourishes them and grows them into desirable coaches and personnel people around the league.
And, right. And they've been able to fill those spots that have been left vacant in the past. I have no reason to believe they're not going to do it again.
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. It's not
and
like, you know.
As much as I tease you, I think your reason is the biggest one. Belichick is still here.
He's still here. And he's still engaged. You know, he's not like, you know, Dungy was last year where his mind was.
He can't help himself.
His mind was half here and half in Tampa, and he knew this. He was a lame duck coach. You know, he
somehow won 9 in a row. I don't know how that happened.
Well, Peyton Manning got healthy, and they won 9 in a row.
Jesus.
It's a terrible coaching job.
Brian from Brighton is on the phone.
I know.
Brian from Brighton, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Great.
What's up, Brian?
Hey, Paul, I don't know if you discussed this earlier in the show, but I'm going to have to say I don't know if I think Arizona's the worst team to be in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I mean, they're just
I threw it out there.
They actually look good in the playoffs. I've got to give them credit.
Obviously, to get to the Super Bowl, you have to look good to get. I mean, the Patriots looked like the best team in football until they played Chicago in 85.
Who was it? Was it San Diego who made it way year, like back in 99? And they just got
94.
With 94, yeah. It just got slaughtered. I mean, that's pretty high up there on bad teams.
But they weren't, I believe,
those
a number
bad games.
I believe they were a number two seed, and they went 12-4.
We're talking about
this is a nine-win team that wouldn't have been in the playoffs if they were in any other division.
Here's the thing: I remember in the beginning of the season saying it looks like the NFC may have got over the hump in terms of who's the better conference, NFC or AFC. And I did that based on basically the NFC East, the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. You know, the Giants, the Redskins. I all thought that they were a lot. They're all out now. You know, so we're left with the Vikings and the Cardinals and, you know, these teams. And, you know, right now, you know.
I still think the AFC was the better conference all season.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think that's true.
Regardless of that.
There was a time early in the year where every game between the NFC and the AFC of supposed top teams, the NFC won.
You know,
first like 5-6 weeks, and then it just turned.
And then it turned.
You know, Philadelphia kicked the crap out of Pittsburgh in an early season game, absolutely dominated them. Mm-hmm. Those were the kinds of games that were happening on a week-to-week basis. But by the end of the year, it was the other way around.
That's right.
You know, the AFC grabbed hold of their superiority again, and I think going into the playoffs, in my opinion, the AFC had three or four teams better than anybody other than the Giants. The Giants, to me, were a great team. They lost.
They
lost. That happens.
It's one of those things. You know, and I've been rooting for the Cardinals all the way through, but I've been predicting that they were going to lose all the way through, and I've been happily wrong. I still got to predict they're going to lose.
Just Larry Fitzgerald alone.
Oh, he's a man.
He's just been lighting it up.
Unbelievable.
It's been an amazing postseason for him.
Yep.
But, and one other thing, and I'll get running, but another food for thought. I don't know how extreme this is, but what about peppers for Castle?
Yeah, we talked about that earlier.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, we think it might be a little bit of a stretch to go straight up with those
you'd
two
have
guys.
To give
Carolina
up more than,
would want more than just
you'd have to give up
that.
More than Castle, and then I don't know how you pay him. I don't know how you pay Peppers because he's not coming here for nothing.
True.
Yeah, but you
and
know
we
what?
Do have two good DNs.
I
but
think
still.
You, because you're doing it in a long-term contract, I think you can figure it out so that, you know, he's getting, you know, the top money that he deserves, and you're fitting it under the salary cap.
Well, I'm not worried about the cap. I'm worried about paying him the money.
Why not? Why can't he pay?
I'm just thinking, though, the way
why didn't they
comments
pay
Asante Samuel? Like how he wanted to get
the
out
position.
Of Carolina and explore his talents more. To me, that just kind of screamed a system like Belichick's where it's like, just use me as crazy as you
want. Absolutely. If I'm Bill Belichick, I'm watering at the mouth thinking
absolutely.
About how I'm going to use this guy.
If you meant him as an outside linebacker?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
On the other side of Adelis Thomas?
Oh, my God.
The
and
football-wise,
like,
it's
not even fair.
Endless.
And it sounds like he's asking for that.
And that's why I say pay the man the money. Let's go.
Well, I'm just saying that's what it would cost you a lot, and it would cost you more than Castle because you ain't getting Castle straight up.
I think so.
Yeah, it's definitely a reach. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, if Carolina made that trade, then they should really be investigated.
Well,
Straight up, Castle for Julius Peppers.
Well, I think the problem with Carolina is when the question is when do they really abandon Jake Delhomme?
I would think that's right now.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. Their mentality, they love him down there.
But he's got a reasonable cap hit for a guy who's been wildly inconsistent the last couple of years.
Oh, I've argued that, yeah.
Coming off a serious injury. I think he's a good quarterback, not a great quarterback.
Exactly.
And they know that.
All right, guys. Great talking to you.
All right, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Take it easy.
Yeah, that San Diego team, by the way, went 11-5, and they were the number two seed in the AFC. So I think that's a little different than this Cardinals team. And I'm talking about the body of work. When I ask if that's the worst team, I'm talking about the body of work. They played two really, really excellent playoff games. I don't think they played a great game against Atlanta. They played well enough to win. They played an excellent game against the Panthers and obviously got a lot of help. Mm-hmm. And they played a great game Sunday.
Yeah, they're playing
They were the better team
now.
Sunday.
They're playing great now. I know what you're saying, Paul. As a whole, for the season, how is that team looked upon?
Well, and, you know, this is the test right here. Pittsburgh's defense is the best in the league, and we'll see what happens.
But if they win, I would then change it to, is it the worst team to ever win the Super Bowl? Because I still think that they're in that discussion.
Arizona is.
I put you in with that Baltimore 2000 team, which I still have very little respect for overall as a team. They had a great defense. But it was a fluke to me that they won the Super Bowl.
You know, now
if they call a roughing the passer in the play that Siragusa hurt Gannon, the whole thing could have changed.
Well, if Arizona does win the Super Bowl and it's not because Pittsburgh just, you know, falls apart, what will you attribute it to?
This is what Eric just said.
Yeah, we were talking earlier about this, and I was saying if Warner has the time to throw, Cardinals are going to win the game.
I thought you were going to say it's just a team getting hot at the right time and they're playing well in the playoffs.
Well, that's true too. But like you said, the Patriots in '85 were hot in the playoffs, and then it all came to an abrupt halt against Chicago.
And I equate the Cardinals, even though they haven't done what they did mostly on the road like the Patriots did in '85. I equate them so far to those Patriots because along the way, everyone said. I remember Will McDonough on NBC every week. There's no way the Patriots are going to win this next game.
Right.
And he got madder and madder as the playoffs got deeper. Then they finally met the Bears. And then that was it. It was lights out. They didn't have a chance. And I see the same thing.
Well,
I think that if the Steelers are who I think they are, that's the kind of game it might. It won't be a blowout.
But that was much more of a mismatch than this
you
was.
You won't see
this
the Cardinals being able to score 30 points against the Steelers. I don't think.
I don't know.
But maybe they will.
Like I said, if Warner can throw to Fitzgerald and Bolden can make some plays, I don't see why
this is a much better offense than the Patriots had then. If Grogan was playing, if Grogan was 100% and they had that ability to stretch the field with Stanley Morgan and all that stuff, they still would have gotten killed. But I think they would have had an offense that could have at least pressured Chicago.
Right.
That offense, the way it was Tony Eason threw the ball like 12 times in the AFC Championship game. That you can't beat. They weren't beating the Chicago Bears by running the ball 47 times like they did in Miami. So this offense that Arizona has is capable of putting pressure on Pittsburgh. And I don't think Pittsburgh's defense is overrated.
Well, I don't either.
It's really, really good.
And on the other side of the ball, I think that Arizona's defense was playing better. And I don't think Pittsburgh has that kind of lights out offense where they're going to run away with this game.
No, that's why I wouldn't expect it to be a blowout. Yeah. I think Pittsburgh is going to win, and I think they're going to win, you know, somewhat comfortably. But I don't think it's going to be like a 30 something to 10 kind of game.
No.
I think it'll be relatively
close.
It could
be like 24-10 though.
I could see that.
You know, I'm picking the Cardinals in the upset.
You are picking the Cardinals in the upset.
What was the number yesterday? Six?
Seven.
Seven now?
Seven.
Okay.
It's gone up then.
According
to the Herald, it opened at 7 and it's 7 now. But I don't know what the deal
is. I read where it opened at 6 and the Vegas was hoping it would get up to 7.5.
I'm going with the Cardinals regardless of the number. Taking them.
Okay.
I took the Cardinals Sunday on the radio. Yeah. And like I said, I thought Philadelphia was a better team going in, and it took me one drive, and I completely changed my mind. I said, they're not better. Mm. This team is everybody's good. But it's funny, we talked about that worst Super Bowl thing, and Tom Curran came on. And I'm on with Nelly, Fred, right, on the Sunday morning show. So I said, Tom, you like to look at a lot of the history of stuff. If this Cardinals team wins today and goes to the Super Bowl, is it the worst Super Bowl participant ever? And Tom kind of paused, and he goes, yeah, I think so. And Nelly goes,
because he thought we were talking about his team. But right. I really wasn't. I didn't even really give any thought to the 85 Patriots, but they're in that discussion.
They, you know, you have to admit they're in that they really are. You know, they came from nowhere.
Right.
Really. Winning them all on the road. Steve in New Hampshire is on the phone right now. Steve, how you doing?
Hey, Fred, how you doing?
Great.
Paul, Eric.
Yeah,
hi.
Basically, Fred, you know, I think you got the best attitude here. I've actually been, I've been getting PFW since its inception.
Good for you.
And
God bless you.
Yeah, well, and I'm with you. You know, Devine in 09, my reasoning is basically, you know, Pittsburgh had their somewhat decade in the 70s, and, you know, they got three. They got four because it was 75 to 1980.
No, 79.
So they had three. But we're going to get four in this decade.
No, the Steelers won four in the 70s.
Yeah, the Steelers
won
four.
Yeah, we just kind of take them out of here, which I like. Paul, I think you're the best as far as
everything. You can say it.
Well, you can say everything, and I appreciate that. But I honestly do. I love it. Eric?
Thank you.
I mean, you don't get enough credit, and anybody can say what they want. But as far as reading the paper, I think you're awesome. And
thank you.
I'll use Belichick. It is what it is.
All right.
We're good with it.
Thank you.
And one thing, Fred.
Yes, Steve.
That McDonald's commercial where, you know, maybe you're thinking too much football on Sunday, get rid of that. That's just retarded.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it really is. Come on.
Which McDonald's commercial is
but
that?
I've been listening
what are
you, to you
retarded?
Guys forever. I'm a Finnish carpenter, you know, and right now it's like, it's great. You know, I used to do
I
the,
used to know an Italian
million-dollar houses and having a ball. But, you know, everybody's pulled up on the money, so it's, like, tough. So I'm home right now, and I go, you know what? I'm calling these guys.
Well, when I get some money and I need some carpentry, I'll call you.
This is a great call. This is one of the best calls we've ever had.
And
a PFW subscriber since its inception who thinks that we're all great. I love it.
And he's finished.
And he's finished.
Yeah.
The thing with me, and I love it. You know, Michael from Puerto Rico called earlier. I'm like, yeah, awesome. And but I got to tell you one thing. That I would like to do, and, you know, maybe I should have said this to Dan before I even called, but you got a guy down in Nashville, Tennessee. His name, can I say his name?
Unless it's a swear word, yeah, go ahead.
No, it ain't a swear. No, his name is Frank Husser, and I grew up with him.
Sure.
And he's been calling, like, last year and the year before,
Frank,
or whatever.
Sure.
Oh, Frank from Old Hickory.
Old Hickory, yeah.
Well, no, but you know where he's from originally. He's Stoneham, Mass, where I'm from.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. Yeah, we grew up, like, you know, backyards together just about. I had a dead-end street. The end of the dead-end street went into his backyard. Him and my brother used to fight like cats and dogs.
Oh,
it was
wow.
Like, you know, it was like, oh, well, it's Saturday. Frank and, you know, Frank should be fighting right now. And,
wow.
You know, one of those typical things, street hockey, everything, growing up together. So I was blown away. I think it was like 2 years ago, and I was listening to a show. And all of a sudden you guys said, oh, we got a call, you know, or an email from Frank and, you know, Husser from Stoneham, Mass. Originally, but now he's in Tennessee, and I'm like going, "Oh my God, I grew up with him!"
Wow, that's
and,
great.
So that was cool. I'd like
We're
to. I don't know if some way. I hope
when it comes to bringing people together.
And he calls in, and you guys can go. Yeah, you know, somehow I can get in touch with him. That'd be awesome.
You should Facebook him.
And I don't do that. I'm a little.
I was.
My daughters do it, and I just say, you know, why do you want to get on there and brag about yourself?
That's right.
I don't understand any of that stuff, and I really don't want to. I guess I'm getting old, but you know. And then, but I mean, just to stay with the Pats, and you know, trivia question for question of the week thing, you know, for Thursday. I don't know if I should say it online.
Thing, yeah.
But, you know, I'll say it this way: who was the original number 11?
Oh, don't ask Paul that. He'll tell you. Drew Bledsoe.
There's only one that really counts,
yeah.
Drew Bledsoe.
I
don't know.
Was it Easton 11?
Well, do you guys know who the original number 11 is?
I don't.
You really?
You mean the first one in franchise history, you mean?
Yes, he is.
I'm not as old as Andy makes me out to be.
And guess where he lived?
Everett.
Stoneham.
No.
New Hampshire.
No.
I don't know.
Foxborough.
I can't believe you guys don't know that.
Bay Parilli?
No, Bay Parilli was 15.
You?
Give me the initials.
E.S.
Eric
but his
Scalabino.
Nickname was B.
Oh. What?
I don't know. We give up.
Can't.
All right. Ed. Butch
Songin.
I can't believe
Butch
that. Songin. You know,
and he was from
like
down
you,
here,
Paul,
right?
I love. I don't care. You know, Gillette Stadium is the house that Drew built. I love Drew Bledsoe. My brother said it best. Truth be told. I think Drew Bledsoe had everything that he needed to be one of the best quarterbacks ever in this league. But you know what he didn't have? is that hunger. Tom Brady has the hunger to get up every week. Even
the fire in the belly.
Absolutely. If you can't get up on a Monday morning after playing and be fired up for next Sunday in your gut, like, you know, whether win or lose, that I got the fire in my heart and I'm going, you know, and I'm going to work my ass off to get there. That's why I own the parking lot that I do for, you know, since he got here. And the thing is, Bledsoe, I think somehow, some way, he just felt, you know, well, my talent will get me through. Well, you know what? You can have talent. I mean, we all have talent with something, but if you don't work at it and you don't believe in it, well, he believed in it, but if you don't work at it to keep it up to that level that you know that you can believe in it whenever you need to pull it out and use it, it's not going to work. And I think that was, I think, on, and I love Drew Bledsoe, but I honestly think he never had that fire in his heart to really to pull it out when he needed to. He did it, I guess, you know, against the Steelers, you know, in the AFC Championship game
sure.
back in 2001.
Shining
but,
moment here.
You know, you have to have it. And
you got it.
And that's what I think the difference is, you know, if we want to compare quarterbacks to whatever. This Super Bowl coming up, it's going to be interesting.
Honestly. All right, Steve, we appreciate the call.
We got to get him in touch with Frank.
We got to get Frank
we'll
in
get
touch
Frank,
with Steve.
Frank,
yeah,
we'll
you know,
we'll
if you
that.
Guys have his email,
yeah.
throw me back to Dan so I can get that.
All right. Old Hickory.
Right, yeah. Okay. Talk to Dan. Talk to him.
Talk
see
to
if you can get
right
his
now.
Email,
all right.
Dan.
We'll,
one
right.
more
we'll,
thing.
We'll work on that. Yeah. We'll work on
the
that.
One more
okay.
thing.
Okay.
All it takes, and it's been proven, the Patriots have proven it totally, and we've seen it years before with other teams. There's only three things you need. That's an owner, a coach, and a quarterback.
Got that right.
Got all
and
three of those.
It.
That's right.
All right.
All right, talk to
Steve
Dan.
Steve from New Hampshire. That's a great call. Good call down memory lane.
Love it.
We've had some fired up callers
here.
Today.
Yep.
A lot of fired up callers.
That's the third call that we've had that's probably gone over 10 minutes, by the way.
Well, yeah. Well, the Finnish, they're very talkative people.
They never finish.
Good, Fred. That was very good.
They never finish, Fred.
Let's see. Sawyer from Waterloo writes in.
Sawyer.
And he says a couple things from last week's show. I thought Bostonians were supposed to be tough.
No.
Temperatures in the
God,
teens
no.
is cold. Try waking up to 35 degrees below and out in the wind. That's after a foot of snow we got last week. I am afraid Eric DePanzi is starting to wear off on the rest of you.
Hey.
But what is more disturbing, you guys are
35
having
below
pre-show
Fahrenheit?
Meetings. What the hell is going on there? Be careful that you don't end up turning into one of those crappy real radio shows.
Pre-show
hey,
meetings.
Do we have a pre-show
no,
meeting?
No, we had a meeting before the show, but it wasn't about the show. It was for other stuff
yeah,
for
it
work.
Wasn't about the show.
It wasn't about this show. God.
And finally, he says, I think we should trade Castle for Bolden, who really wants out of Arizona. That way, Leinart can be Matt's backup. That would be something, huh?
If they lost
Castle were if no, Leinart were Castle's
but
backup?
If they lost Warner is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think Warner will be back.
Probably. Especially if they win the whole
but
thing.
But wouldn't it be something if Leinart ended up being Castle's backup?
It'd be an interesting turn
yes.
of events.
It'd be very interesting.
Let's see. Paul writes in.
By the way, I love the snow, Sawyer. I love this weather. I love the more it snows in the
you
winter.
You like cold
I love
weather?
The, I love cold in I the know. Winter, yeah. I like that it's snowing in the winter in New England. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Well, yeah, but I still don't like it.
I've had enough of snow.
Well, you're a pansy.
It's, you know, until now it's normal now. The last week was not normal cold. I don't
no,
like
no,
that.
Last
week
was
wasn't too
digits.
Bad.
Yes.
It wasn't too
last
bad.
Week was
minus six
it was
one
three.
Morning.
I went walkabout, and it was fine.
Well, that's you. I mean, you're a tough guy.
That's what
to
Paul likes to call it.
You know, when he just disappears during the middle
yeah,
of the day,
he does
I go,
this little walk around
he's gone walkabout.
He's gone walkabout. Like a five-year-old when he says that.
Paul writes in, what did you guys think of Ryan Clark's hit on McGahee? Although I think that the guy has to be a psycho to do to players what he has done to Walker and McGahee. I would love it if Merriweather had done that to Keller against the Jets.
Well,
you'd have been in the playoffs, and who knows, you might still be playing today.
Next, what are the chances of a new special teams captain being named in the future? We have guys like Bubba and Kelly Washington who have put up good cases for being nominated in the future.
I think as long as Larry Izzo's here, he's your captain on special teams.
Right.
And should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's an
deserved
outstanding
it.
Leader.
Yep. And a good guy.
Not necessarily the best player still.
No.
He did lead
no.
the team again in yeah. special teams tackles this
yeah.
year, but he is a great, great
leader. He's a coach
leader.
On the field. That's
he's a great
call.
Leader. They all talk about how he organizes film study mm-hmm. and game plan
yep.
kind of things. And I know that you don't think of in those terms for special teams, but he does. Mm-hmm. And he is an outstanding leader.
And a guy who's probably, in any other case, might have overstayed his welcome in the NFL, but he's found a way to to keep his career alive, and he's still productive at this age.
And we'll see what happens if he's, you know, if he's not back and they have to, and they turn the page. Maybe a guy like Bubba would fit in. I think he's got that kind of those kinds of qualities where he could be. I could see him being on the team for 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Doing that kind of stuff.
Then Paul goes on to make some disparaging remarks about Eric, and then he says, keep up the great shows. We enjoy the nonsense, and 3 times a week would be fine for most of the fans who don't care what you argue about. We just want to listen to shows from inside the Patriots. I'd even listen to Patriots Playbook once a week during the offseason, even if it ended up being a Bilo Scalavino show on art.
Oh, this is our guy Paul from London.
Paul from London, right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
He's all right. I thought it was some other Paul.
Okay.
Paul from London's all right.
LT from Australia writes in.
Lawrence Taylor's in Australia?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, LaDainian Tomlinson, he's on vacation now, you know.
He's got a walkabout. He's
in the outback.
He says, with Seattle struggling like they did this year and with the cap charge that Deion Branch is to them, is there a chance that he is released, and what are the chances the Patriots would take him in free agency? We know that he is a good player but still has injury problems, so would his salary be too high for the Pats to look at?
Evidently, that is not a possibility. According to reports in Seattle, they will be bringing him back. Now, it doesn't mean that they're not lying, but they have every intention right now.
Didn't the owner say that, forget about it, he's going to be a Seahawk
or something? Yeah, they really like the way he finished the season. And we saw that firsthand down there in December where he was the best player
on the
field.
He looked like Deion Branch from
He was the best player
New
on
England.
The field that day.
Yeah.
Let's see. Bob writes in, question, if a player who is a senior and graduates but wants to further his academic studies can he be drafted? Myron Roll of Florida State is doing this. He will not declare for this draft, but he will graduate. Almost like taking a chance with a player who wants to take baseball over football. Can a team take a chance and draft him? Great opportunity in the 7th round. This guy is a great, strong safety.
Well, I don't think you're not draft eligible if you don't apply for the draft. Isn't that correct?
You have to apply for it.
Well, I don't know. Is that the case? I mean, haven't there been cases where guys who didn't even play football were signed or drafted?
Well, signing is different. You know, I don't know.
I'm not sure exactly how the
There's one other thing to
I'm
consider.
Not sure how the bookkeeping works on that, but I was always under the impression that even as a senior, you need to apply for the draft.
The other thing too is you have to be 3 years removed from your high school graduating class in order to be eligible to be drafted. And I think he graduated in 2.5 years from Florida State?
Who, Roll?
Yeah, he got his degree really, really early, and I think it only took him two and a half years.
I think he's more than 3 years removed from his class, though. He's done with his eligibility.
He's done with his eligibility, or he's done with
his
degree work?
He was a senior, yes. He's done with his eligibility.
Oh, so maybe he was taking post-grad courses.
I would assume.
Oh, okay.
I would assume you'd have
I didn't
to do
see
more.
That part.
I would assume you'd have to do more than just graduate in 2.5 years to
people
be a Rhodes Scholar.
People don't know, but Myron Roll is 42.
Myron Roll is one of the most impressive college football players I've ever seen.
No, but I thought he was just...
To play at that level and be that intelligent and have that many things going on in your life is, to me, remarkable.
I wasn't sure if he was declaring for the draft because he was declaring early.
He's
I didn't
not
know
declaring
if it was that kind
for the
of thing.
Draft.
No, I'm saying I thought people were thinking he would because he had already finished his degree work.
Yeah. In other words,
as an
the
undergrad.
Question is, if you graduate, are you automatically eligible to be drafted?
Yeah, and, I
don't know.
I don't think you are. I think you would. I think the player would have to apply for the draft. I'm not positive on that. I think that's why he specifically said he is not going to apply for the draft because he wanted to take himself out of the draft.
You know, in the
because
case
I think when he's done with his Rhodes Scholarship work,
he wants to play.
I think maybe. He wants to play, and I think he probably figures if I get drafted in 2 years, I'll get drafted a lot higher than I will if I get drafted right now when I'm going to
be used.
What's his name? Was it Henson? Drew Henson?
Drew Henson.
Now, the question with him is he going to play baseball or football? And people said he's going to play baseball.
Right.
But he got drafted anyway.
My assumption is that he applied for the draft.
He had applied for it.
I'm not so sure. I think if you're done with school.
Find that out. We'll get that answer.
All right.
Norman.
Because you have to be draft eligible.
You have to be draft eligible.
But by that, I think that
you have to.
But that's different
you
than
have to
declaring.
Do paperwork.
Draft eligible, I think, means you have to be 3 years
you're
removed from
eligible,
high school.
You're draft eligible,
Paul. No, I'm not.
Why not?
Because I didn't apply for the draft.
No, but I don't think that's what it means. I don't think that's what it means.
I'm telling you, I think you
have to apply for the draft. You can be eligible and not apply, but you can't apply unless you're eligible.
I think you have it right, Fred.
Well, we'll see. I don't see any reason why a guy would publicly say, I'm not applying for the draft.
You have to be eligible in order to apply.
All he would have had to say is, I'm not playing football this year. I'm pursuing my Rhodes Scholarship. But instead, he said specifically, I'm not applying for the draft this year because I'm doing
maybe
my
he just used that verbiage, but I think that's what he was basically saying.
I think there's a reason that he would use this verbiage.
But being eligible, all right.
You might be right, Paul. I didn't think that was the case.
He's eligible to be drafted. He just didn't apply.
Right, which makes him ineligible.
Now it does.
Yeah. Right. Is my guess. Again, I don't know that for sure. I think that's the way they've always talked about it.
It's an interesting point. We'll have to look into it, though.
I don't think it really comes up very often, so it's kind of hard.
Almost never comes up.
You know, who as a senior would not say, right. Sure.
Why not?
I'm making myself eligible.
You don't have
to
go if you get drafted, but, you know.
Yeah.
Norman in Connecticut says, how about Brian Billick as offensive coordinator, Romeo Crennel as defensive coordinator? I know. It's strictly theoretical and not practical. This show today is great.
It's practical.
He says it's been a great show because there's no silly talk and coarse jesting.
There's been some coarse jesting.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I think the Romeo Crennel thing is very possible. I don't think that's necessarily...
I don't see Billick coming here, though.
But Billick, I think that the offensive coordinator aspect that you have to keep in mind is the system is going to remain the same.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever runs the show and calls the plays is doing it so in the Patriots system.
All right.
That's why I think it leans more toward a young guy who's not set in his ways,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to a veteran guy who's going to want his own system or say, well, geez, that's not the way we used to do it.
Yep.
I don't know whether it be defensive coordinator for Romeo, but I think there's probably a better than 75% chance that he comes here?
If he still wants to coach, I think, yeah, there's a very good chance he comes back.
And it could be as assistant head coach, something.
Yeah, like Capers did last year.
You know,
assistant and position coach.
And you know, Dean Pease is the defensive coordinator, but you also have Romeo there. Mm-hmm.
He's got his surgery for his hip, I guess, or
something. Yeah, and he's also getting paid. Yeah. So he has no urgency to come back and coach. I would certainly understand if he didn't want him.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll be back Thursday. More talk, more emails, more phone calls. Talk to you then.